about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What are you doing in here?
Getting away from the bad news. Just trying to, you know, realign myself. You know what I'd like?
Uh-uh.
I'd like to be cryogenically suspended.
Yeah. And then be woken up in the future?
No, never wake up. Just stay suspended.
Are you drunk?
Hey, it's Kevin Abine from the world-famous K-Rock. Can we please talk about this insanity in Pasadena last night? It looked like the greatest party I have ever seen.
And now,
I need you all to make me have not said that. I need you to have make me unsaid it.
Our feature presentation.
If only that could happen. If only that were some type of possibility.
On a regular basis, we would use that feature if it were available.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:33. It's Thursday, the 18th of April.
What's crack-a-latin' party, people?
What's up?
You know, big pimping like we do.
Exactly. This fire in Texas is crazy, right?
Yes.
Crazy. And nobody thinks it's anything suspicious about it. They think it's just was an industrial accident, basically, right?
Yeah.
So
just so weird being almost, you know, 20 years to the day from the Branch Davidian Waco explosion, which is the anniversary of that is tomorrow, and then all of a sudden you have this huge explosion like this in Waco. Just struck me as so odd.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there are coincidences. So, yeah, it's like they've replaced one explosion on my TV on a continuous loop with another one this week. It's just, this week needs to end, you guys. This is a crappy week.
It is a bad week. I agree.
It is definitely a bad week.
I think it's the week's fault.
Well, a lot, you know, I saw a piece yesterday that pointed out how many bad things happen in April. April is the worst month for whatever reason, you know, Columbine and things like that. So many bad things have happened in April. I don't know. It just does seem like it's a weird vibe.
Hey, Bean.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber says April is a fun month.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so maybe my information is wrong.
So you got that going on.
Here's a great way to start the day, though. This will give you all something to think about. Now, I'm going to talk about a medical procedure that has a name very similar to something that we're technically not allowed to say on the radio, but I'm not going to say that word, so I don't want you to get nervous.
All right.
In the tradition of vajazzling, not far from where vajazzling came from in Essex, England, by the way, is a new cosmetic procedure that is sweeping the UK and perhaps gaining popularity here as well. I don't know. I've not heard of it in America yet, but this is the new thing, and it is called tattooing.
Really?
Okay.
Is the new thing.
Okay.
It is the new trend of semi-permanent nipple tattooing, and it is a process that is a cosmetic procedure that women can go in and have their nipples basically darkened or enlarged or defined, their nipples and their areola. The semi-permanent treatment gives them the perfect nipples and can last a lifetime with regular touch-ups.
Why is it not permanent?
Yeah, why is it only semi-permanent?
Well, I don't know the answer. It sounds to me like maybe they're not doing it the same way they do a more permanent tattoo.
Hmm. Huh.
Let's see here. An independent clinician based in Merseyside named Gail Proudman says she tattoos the nipples of more than 3 women a week. She's seen a huge increase in young women coming in for the latest cosmetic trend. A lot of people want their nipples made darker. It's the fashion. Some think theirs are too pink or their boyfriends want them done. I think they're sometimes.
Boyfriends want them
what?
Done.
Oh, I think they're sometimes doing it because they're conscious of them being pale or they think it's fashionable to have dark nipples. They look at the magazines and it may be a lot of peer pressure. Girls do it so they can go topless and not be embarrassed when they're in changing rooms or getting changed. They can go on holiday in front of their partners, go in for massages, spray tans, and not be conscious of their body. It's about a 2-hour procedure, cost up to £1,200 for both nipples, lasts 12 to 18 months, and touch-ups are recommended to restore any color that is lost as the ink fades over time.
I'd like to do the touch-ups.
The nipples are made to look natural by matching ink colors to skin tones, which are then shaded and tattooed on the anesthetized nipple. Several weeks after the procedure, it is all repeated to restore fading and add finishing touches. Apparently, in Liverpool alone, there are a number of salons already offering nipple tattooing, and there are at least 15 independent technicians based in the same area.
Well, they're pasty in that area.
So,
right?
This is
to be honest, I don't ever look through magazines and feel peer pressure to have darker nipples. Oh, like, man. What magazines are they
My
looking
nipples
at?
Nipples need to be darker.
Most people are wearing clothes in magazines.
Right. And believe me, guys like your nipples the way they are.
They don't care. The only thing that I would ever think would be an issue is if you had the giant ones, you know?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Especially if your breasts aren't that big.
Right.
But they can't really do much about that.
Well, it sounds like they can because it sounds like they could carve out like the outer rings of the areola and lighten those.
And lighten it?
So they blended more in with the breast. They would essentially reshape the nipple into whatever size you want.
I don't think so because what you're describing is more about just coloring it in, isn't it?
Can't they color it in a lighter shade that matches your breast if you're a white woman, though?
Yes, but
the tissue
is different. The skin is different.
Tissue is different, yeah.
I don't know.
Have we solved every other problem with our bodies?
Look, this is in the great tradition of anal bleaching, too, by the way, which is just another thing that seems like unnecessary doctor bills.
Yeah, if I'm converting this into dollars, are we talking about $2,400 for
if it's two to one, yeah. That would be what it would be. Yeah, over $2,000 if the pounds are 2 to 1 right now.
Look, you're the perfect woman, but... your nipples matched a little more.
Right.
Then I'd be into you.
You'd be a 10.
Claire Jagger, 38, had her nipples tattooed after having a boob job. So she's really spent more time working on her breasts than she probably has working at her job recently. She says, to me, it was the finishing touch after getting my breasts done. My nipples were quite fair in color, no different from any ordinary girl, but I wanted to enhance them to make them darker. I wanted the shape to be perfect, and now I feel great because I have absolutely perfect nipples.
I hope she has a job where she's topless all the time. Because why do you do all this and then no one sees?
Well, I'm sure she has a boyfriend or husband, I would imagine.
No, I think Lisa's right. Let's make sure people can see.
So go topless more.
If we're going to put that much work into it.
Yes, for God's sake.
Show them off.
So there you go. You learned a little something on today's Kevin and Bean Show to get us started, and that is that if you're not tattooing, you're nowhere.
Wow.
Thank you, Bean.
All right.
Another thing to be insecure about.
I feel the pressure. I'm going to go
today. I have to go to the bathroom immediately and look.
I think both of you guys need to go out and get it done today.
Can we go together?
Sure, will they give absolutely.
Us a discount? Why not? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You make me physically sick to my stomach, and I wish that you would get a heart attack.
A little rough, but all right. Ben Hoffman will be in the studio talking about The Ben Show, one of our favorites.
He's funny.
Comedy Central. Yes. Dr. Drew will be on the program. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Flea. From the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Thank God the Lakers won last night.
Yes.
They showed up at the game.
Was it overtime, by the way?
It was overtime, yeah.
That's how you want the last game of the season to go down. But they were already in. They were already in anyway.
They were already in, but we were – but it
because somebody else lost.
Yeah, because Utah lost. Yeah. We could have ended up playing Oklahoma City, which would have been really, really almost impossible. Yeah. And instead, Houston has to play them, and now we get to play San Antonio, which is
so. In
just
other words, it's
unlikely.
A stay of execution, is what it is.
Yeah, yes,
temporary. Got it.
But it only went into overtime because they hit a lucky shot. I mean, they almost made a half quarter.
Oh wow!
At the buzzer, the ball was in the air. The buzzer went off, and I was watching with my daughter, and I said, "That's fantastic. We'll take that shot every day." Whoosh, right through, tie ball game. But anyway, Lakers are in the playoffs on Sunday. I believe they start.
That's right.
So we're going to talk to Flea. I was just hoping, just for the interview's sake, that they were going to win last night. He was there.
Otherwise, we'd be talking to him, and he'd be standing on a ledge somewhere, and we'd be trying to talk him down.
Come on, dude. You got one more show to play on Sunday. Chadwick Boseman will be on the program. He plays Jackie Robinson in 42.
Mm-hmm. He sure the hell does.
Yes, he does.
He plays the crap out of Jackie Robinson.
Right. I don't understand.
He's playing Jackie Robinson more than anybody else we'll talk to today. I'll tell you that.
That's true. That's very true. Brand new internet roundup. We're going to check in with Bruce Endicott from Coffee. We've got some very touchy subjects that we need to deal with, and he's the guy to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we've got your 3-day passes for Coachella this weekend.
Wow.
So you get those passes, and you also get access to the K-Rock Party House if it hasn't burned down by then. And so that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, I just want to make sure my favorite game in the history of Kevin and Bean games is happening today. We're still playing Beat Beer Mug, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. There's baseball bats in the other room with nails in them. And there's
I brought a crowbar.
Dave brought in a bag of silver dollars.
Sweet.
I don't know where he got those. They don't even circulate those anymore.
I like it.
I love Beat Beer Mug. The only thing better is Kill Beer Mug, but we haven't gotten the approval to play that one here yet on the station.
Lawyers.
Stupid lawyers. All right, 5:53. It's Thursday morning. Ralph is here. Time for yet another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
All right, before I go any further, I just got to get this out, and then we can talk about Showbiz stuff.
All right.
What's that?
Southland.
Southland.
Mother effing Southland.
I haven't seen it yet, Ralph.
Oh, how can you not? How can you not?
I'm
it's one of those shows for me. Like, I can't.
You can't wait. I know.
I can't wait. I can't DVR it and then, oh, I'll catch it next week. I'm there the minute. I'm right there in front of my television set.
I will agree with you that the show is that good that it deserves that kind of attention, but I did not make it last night. Sorry.
He was talking to Lisa while you were out of the room about a show I've never heard of in a million years
right.
and how great it is, and she needs to watch it. So okay. I'm saving us time.
I plan it. Apparently he does.
Poor planning.
What was the show that he was talking about?
Selfridges.
Selfridges?
It's on Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, Mr. Selfridge?
Yes, it's Mr. Selfridge. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
With Jeremy Piven. Yeah, that's the only reason I know what it is on, because Piven stars in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been watching
got
that.
Got time for that, but not Southland.
Yeah, but not Southland.
I have time for Southland. I just couldn't watch it live as it happened. I want it today.
I have no room for you in my life. I have no time for you. I'm going to put you on DVR. I'm going to deal with you at a later date.
I heard from token black Kevin Amin listener, Anel Rivers, who watched the Southland last night and said that it took years off his life.
It's just relentless. That show's relentless. It grabs you by the throat and just shakes you around for an hour and then throws you back down on your couch. And you're like, who just came into my house and just beat me up?
And now I have to go on and try to live a normal life.
Yeah. TNT, if bad news comes, you and I, we're going to dance, man. We're going to dance.
What does that mean, you're going to dance with TNT?
I'm going to dance, man.
I know, but really, in reality, what does that mean?
I'm going down there to TNT headquarters. I think it's on 3rd and Alvarado.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we're gonna dance, man. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of going places and doing things, how about Aziz Ansari? How do you like him? How about him?
He's great.
I love him. We don't do much for the early listeners, so I want to give away some tickets to see Aziz Ansari in concert at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. Do you have comedy concerts? I guess you do, sort of.
Sure.
Right? It's San Manuel on May the 2nd. You got to be 21 years of age or older, but if you'd like to attend and see Aziz, why wouldn't you? He's a great stand-up. You love him on Parks and Recreation. Four winners will win a pair of tickets at this number, 1-800-520-1067. Call the number right now. First four callers who get through will get a pair of tickets to see Aziz Ansari at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino, May the 2nd. If you don't win, you can go to Ticketmaster and get your own damn tickets that way. Look, I'm already giving away stuff now. What do you want for nothing? James Woods, he's back on the market, girls. Get your nipples tattooed. Get ready to go because he's single again. The 66-year-old actor has just broken up with his girlfriend. She's 26, but
Not a surprise.
Oh, wow. 40-year age difference, rough?
Yep.
Wow. That's all?
Now, here's the thing. My favorite part of the story is they've called it quits after 7 years of dating. She's 26.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Too old? Too old, James?
Oh.
Too old for you now?
Wow.
Yeah, so when he was 59, she was 19, which for some reason sounds worse to me than 26 and 66 does.
It does.
He says things just didn't work out, but he'll always love her. Yeah, I bet you will, right? James Woods.
Was it over the color of her nipples?
Did
he mention
that
that was the problem? She wasn't tattooing enough?
Pale nipples. Pale nipple syndrome.
Oh, no. Not another
PNS
casualty.
Catherine Webb has taken her last dive on Splash.
Oh, she's Brent Musburger's girlfriend?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She apparently sustained an injury while shooting the show. And although she didn't go into detail, the 23-year-old former Miss Alabama says that it was under doctor's orders that she had to retire from the competition. Because Catherine left the competition, the show temporarily brought back Louis Anderson.
All right.
Yeah. Listen, we lost all our sex appeal. What do we do? Throw the fat guy back in the pool. People love fat guy making waves. So, is anyone watching Splash?
No.
Anyone keeping up to date on what's... I don't know. I don't know what the score is. I don't know who's ahead.
I don't know.
And congratulations to Da Vinci's Demons. Here's a show. This exists.
What is it?
The Stories of Young Leonardo da Vinci.
It's a TV show?
It's a TV series on Stars. It's been picked up for another season after one episode.
Dude.
Wow.
Premiere of the show last Friday, excuse me, picked up 2.14 million viewers. Kept 70% of its audience from its lead-in, which is Spartacus over there on Stars. Stars so pleased with it, they re-upped it for another season after one episode.
Now, that's a surprise to me that they would base it on that one airing, because it debuted after the series finale of Spartacus, right, which I'm sure had a much bigger tune-in than usual.
I hear you, brother. I don't get it myself. But apparently they have some confidence. Stars, I've got another show for you if you're interested. It's called Southland. Maybe if you want some numbers, we can easily get a 2 million share over there for Southland. And you guys, of course, I don't have to tell you. You know, Record Store Day is this Saturday. You got big celebration plans for Record Store Day?
You know me.
I do. I'm going to open up a blog.
I know
you guys. That's what
like
I'm going
to
do.
You guys like to roll on Record Store Day. I love the guy who started Record Store Day, by the way, has closed his record store. That's my favorite part of the holiday.
I do go every year, Ralph, and am one of those damn fools who is lined up outside of the store like an hour and a half before it opens, waiting for it to open.
No time for Southland. Standing in line for Record Store Day.
You carve out time for very interesting activities.
He really does.
Well, I mean, it's one of those situations where there's limited edition things. There may be, 800 of something that's made for the whole country, and you got to try to get one early if you want it.
Well, then I guess you're headed to Nashville for this Record Store Day, because Jack White is throwing open the doors to his Third Man Records headquarters. And he is letting you use his refurbished 1947 Voiceograph booth. It's only one of its kind in the world, the only one that still exists, where you go in and you can record 2 minutes of anything that you like, and that immediately gets cut to a 6-inch vinyl record.
Wow. That's pretty sweet.
Then you get a cardboard sleeve to keep the record in, or you can mail it to someone. There's a clip on YouTube of Brendan Benson using the machine, and it shows you how it works. But you go in there for 2 minutes, you just speak or you sing or whatever. It goes directly from the microphone to a disc, and then you get the disc at the end of it. It's like one of those photo booths, only it's a record booth.
I don't know if Bean has that kind of time.
Bean's really busy!
True.
That procedure that you just described is how Elvis Presley's career got started. Ralph, remember, he went in to record a little Mother's Day greeting for his mom, and that's how he got discovered and... The rest is history.
That's All Right Mama, right? Wasn't that it?
No, it was before that even.
Oh.
Mama Said Knock You Out.
Mama Said Knock
That's
You Out.
That's what it was.
And then Accidental Racist was the B-side. It was weird. Very prescient.
Today's celebrity birthdays. While we're talking about him, James Wood celebrates his 66th birthday today. He's going to treat himself to a new 19-year-old.
Come on, 19-year-olds, get out there. Play your cards right.
Actor Rick Moranis. Where's Rick Moranis? Where is he? I love
Great
Rick Moranis.
Question. I don't know.
I need more Rick Moranis in my life. Where is he?
I like him. I'm just not sure we need more of him.
He's
the last thing he was
good.
On, Ralph.
He's good.
The last thing I remember him in was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes.
So he's been gone a while.
No, I don't know. I'm sure he's done something since, but I love him, and I miss him. Let's call Rick Moranis today and see what he's up to.
That is not going to happen.
All right.
What's up with Rick Moranis?
He's 60 years old today. Come on, he's the gatekeeper. Or he was the keymaster.
He was the keymaster,
yeah.
And looking for Gozer. Hey, you guys want to come to my party?
Come on. Best. Eric Roberts, my co-star of Sharktopus, is 57 years old today. Talk show host Conan O'Brien turns 50. Eric McCormick, he was on that Gavin and Stacey and Gwen and Louise show.
Correct, Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, that's it. 50 years old. Maria Bello, she's 46. And Melissa Joan Hart, 37 years old today.
Give her a little bell, right?
I think so.
She's cute.
America Ferrera, Ugly Betty, is 29 years old today.
I'd give her a bill, too.
I think she's cute. I think she's cute. Just
not in that show.
Very nice.
Not in that show, but...
No.
Just in general.
With the King of Mexico there?
The King of Mexico saying
Did
no.
Did he have a stroke?
He was saying no. That's how he says it.
There's Nate Dogg calling in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
He plays Jackie Robinson in America's number one film called 42. We'll talk to actor Chadwick Boseman coming up in just a couple of minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. What are our choices today, Kevin?
Well, we have the killer Asian tiger mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. We have the Brazilian wandering spider. We have Holly, the cat that walked 200 miles to get home. We have Willie, the foul-mouthed cockatoo.
All right.
I'd love to talk to Willie.
We have the African house-eating snails. Mm-hmm. We have the vicious British underground mice. We have Purston Howell III from the Rich Cats of Instagram.
Poor Purston. Is he still alive? Have we checked on him while he's waiting for our call?
We have the giant Iranian rats. The man face, the feral cat mistaken for a mountain lion. Okay. That's a man face. Why do people think it's a mountain lion, not a man?
I don't know.
Killer Asian doe. I already said that one. All right. So let's spin the wheel and see who we're going to talk to today.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be
that wheel. Oh, good wrist.
Felt good.
Well, heard that done. Before.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, it's the African house-eating snail.
Oh. Yeah.
We were just talking about these the other day. This is the invasion down in South Florida. These snails are the size. Am I lying if I say they're bigger than a softball? These snails.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
they're bigger than your hand. Yes, they
can grow up to 10 inches long, and there are apparently thousands and thousands and thousands of them. They are trying to eradicate them, and it's not just that they're annoying and that you literally drive over them with your car and step on them and squish them, and they leave trails of excrement all over everywhere they go. It's not just that that's the problem down in South Florida. It's that they eat your freaking house.
Connect themselves to the side of your house and just start chewing on it.
Oh, dear God.
Just eat right through it.
They go through stucco, they go through plaster, and it doesn't look like they're going anywhere soon. So we asked producer Dave if he could line us up somebody to talk to about this story. Hello there, sir. Who's on the phone?
Oh, it's a snail.
Oh, we got one of the snails.
Dave did us one better.
Hello? Is this a giant house-eating snail?
Yeah.
I forgot snails move rather slowly and apparently talk that way, too.
Yeah, we do.
So what's the plan? Just to eat every home in Miami? That's what you guys are working on?
We
oh, man.
Plan
to
eat every home in Miami.
Right.
Home. In Miami. Okay. Okay.
Florida.
Oh, okay. You're not gonna stop in Miami.
Yeah.
How many houses can you eat before you need to take a break?
Well,
we gotta think about these questions carefully, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We have time for a couple.
Oh,
jeez. Can you speed it up just a little bit for us?
Two or three.
Homes. Right. We assume that, yeah. Before.
Four.
A nap. Got it.
Right. Before a nap. Okay. Now, the head of the Department of Agriculture in Florida says it's us against the snails. It sounds like humans have gone to war against you. How are the snails fighting back?
Well,
boring us to death.
We sometimes,
right?
Can
here we go?
Get shell shot.
Oh, I see.
So we
yes
have
okay.
Decided.
So you've decided, yes.
There's
a lot of eating going on back there, by the way.
But we eat your house, you know.
Hey, speed up! He can speed up!
No,
yes, that...
Oh, come on!
Come on!
Darn
it!
Three homes to...
I don't buy it. You can't move that fast.
We got to go. Not feeling.
No. Oh, please, snail, don't do this to us.
Please don't do this.
Please.
Oh, no.
We just wanted to talk to you. Oh, come on. The slowest vomiting ever.
I don't know, it sounds pretty quick.
Oh, this is just awful.
I don't remember eating a condo.
All I'm saying is that at one time we believed Dave when he told us that Kate Upton was going to be on the show, too. So he is not the most reliable producer in the world, okay?
I hear you.
Says we're going to be talking to actor Chad Boseman, who plays, of course, Jackie Robinson in the movie here in a minute. We'll find out if that's true. In the meantime, a lot of shows still to come here on the Kevin and Bean program, including Ben Hoffman from the hilarious Comedy Central show, The Ben Show. We also got your chance to win Coachella tickets. In fact, listen to this email. Dear Kevin and Bean, Chuck writes in. Can you please just give me Coachella passes so I don't have to wake up and listen to your show tomorrow? This came in last night. I mean, nothing against you guys. I just don't want to get up until 10. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Hey, if I didn't have to get up before 10, I wouldn't either.
I'm sorry to say, Chuck, that's not the way it works. But we are going to be giving you those tickets between 7 and 8. We'll give you a chance to beat Beer Mug this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, we've got a brand new internet roundup coming up in about 20 minutes as well.
And we're going to talk to Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I saw him at the Laker game last night while I was watching it, and they put the camera on him. I was like, please win. I don't want to talk to a depressed fan.
I know.
Seriously. They were going to have to put him in at one point if he was going to be so ticked that they didn't win, right? All right. I believe our guest is ready. Very excited to welcome Chad Bozeman to the Kevin Bean Show for the first time ever. He, of course, is the star of America's number one film. Jackie Robinson is who he plays in the movie that is called 42. Mr. Bozeman, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I like it when you say that. Number one film, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, what did you have any kind of expectations? Is that something you thought about going into the weekend? Because there's never any way to tell how these movies are going to play once they're released.
No. I just, honestly, my only expectation, I just wanted, you know, there to be some kids that came up and said they enjoyed it. And you know, it's been that and it overflowing a whole lot more than that. So
sure, yeah. You know, one of the things that's been a real surprise to me about this movie is that I haven't heard any dings against it for historical accuracy, which almost always happens whenever somebody puts a true movie on screen these days. There are people who are picking it apart. Is it just because nobody's doing the research, or were you guys that dead accurate with the stuff that was portrayed in the film?
I think, you know, I've heard a little bit, but I think if you do it, you're being nitpicky.
Right.
Because, you know, ultimately, the film is true to the spirit of the story, the essence of the story. And if anything, like, somebody might say, well, they played this game before that game. Actually, I haven't heard that. So, you know, and I'm not saying it's even true. But it's like people, like the games that Brian chose, the moments that he chose, like he chose them to sort of give you an essence of that that season. And
right.
So people that know the season, I think they can understand why he did the things the way he did it. And you really can't make an argument against it.
Now, gotcha. Jackie Robinson's widow is still alive, correct?
Correct.
And you,
that's another thing about the authenticity too. She was there, so
I imagine that would put more pressure on you, though. You know, you're playing her former husband.
A little bit. It's a great amount of pressure, man. Like I try not to think about it. Like I was aware of it when it was necessary, like in the research process. But then you take that and you sort of, like, you know, put it away and deal with it the same way you deal with any role. You can look at it as if it's pressure. You can look at it as if you have more specific information that you would usually have to make up.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah, real advantage. I saw the movie, Chadwick, and I have to tell you that it was jarring for me. Living in 21st century America, and I know that, you know, certainly there is still such thing as racism in this country, but it is not nearly as overt as it was back in the period that you portray in the film back in 1945 to 1947. Even as a 21st century African American, being an actor in a movie, was it difficult for you on set those days when you've got people, sometimes thousands of them from the stands screaming at you the N-word and everything else, and you don't belong and go home? I mean, did that ever feel personal to you at all?
You know what's interesting about it is that there were actually moments where I begged for the extras in the crowd to do more. Like,
oh, like, they felt bad, and so you said, come on, step it up.
Exactly. Because in some moments, let's say I've run down the first base line 9 times in a row, and there are people in the crowd that are white that are cheering for me as opposed to booing at me there were times when I walked over and said, "Hey, I know you love Jackie now."
Right, but then it was a different thing.
But this is 1947, and I need you to boo. or so we can stop shooting this scene. I literally did that.
Wow.
So, it worked both ways. There were also times when it did feel really uncomfortable, and when you have to get away from everybody just to deal with the scene that's happening. So you need your space. But, you need that as an actor. You need the person. You need the person across from you or the people working with you to give you what's gonna move you through the scene.
Right. Well, it's certainly what – I mean, it is just shocking to see those things that you just don't see anymore, thank God. But, I mean, it really just – it takes you back to, you know, just a generation or two ago where that was the real-life reality for so many African-Americans, and that's the spotlight. That's what the movie is about, is showing Jackie Robinson breaking the color line. And that one heartbreaking scene where that little kid is learning racism from his dad, and then he's confronted with his own feelings because, you know, Pee-wee Reese, one of your teammates on the Dodgers, you know, good friends with Jackie Robinson. Now he has to think, hey, wait a minute, if my hero's good friends with Jackie Robinson, then I can't just hate him because he's black. I mean, it's such a teaching moment, but it's not presented that way in the film. It just is so organic. It's really, really well done.
Yep. I love the way Brian Helgeland is telling the story. Like, the verbals and non-verbals that are there, it makes it where it's not hitting you over the head with the letter.
Right.
It's amazing, man.
All right, I know you got to go, and we do too. I have to ask one last question, just because you're toe to toe with Harrison Ford, you know, one of the most legendary, iconic actors of all time in this movie, you know, and you're a fairly young actor. Tell me what that's like working against Indiana Jones, for God's sake.
Well, he never really said, you know, I've done all these movies, and you haven't done any. So the way I want to do it goes, like, and that sort of made the process, like, we met. You know, eye to eye, and it's very similar to the way Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey have to operate in the movie. They both have to hold up their ends of the bargain.
Right.
Like, I have to hold up my end of the bargain on the field and in my public life, the way I relate to people socially. And he has to deal with the politics in the front office. And so, you know, Harrison Ford had his part of the movie that he had to hold up, and I had my part of the movie we had to hold up. And I think we just, you know, enjoyed the moments when we could work together, like we could bring those two pillars together in the movie. So it was loads of fun, man. And it's fun, you know, just seeing his sense of humor away from the set as well.
Wow. Well, I wish we had more time because you sound like a super interesting dude, and the movie is terrific. It is called 42. It's in theaters now. You ought to check it out, particularly you Dodger fans, if you want to learn a little bit about the man who helped the Dodgers win the World Series back in 1955, Jackie Robinson. Chadwick, thanks for joining us today. We enjoyed it.
Man, thank you so much for having me.
This April at Subway Restaurants, you can get a regular 6-inch Black Forest ham for just $3. That's a real good sandwich at a real good price. Get your $3 regular 6-inch Black Forest ham sandwich at a Subway. Huh? It's 6 inches and $3.
And black?
Black Forest ham.
Otherwise, it's a foot long.
You can get that at Subway. Prices and participation may vary. Additional charge for extras.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You should read through those. That'd be great.
Strangely, I did.
Morning, everybody. It's 6:53 now on the world-famous K-Rock, and time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph
Garman.
We don't mean to disparage Subway at all.
Of course not.
Nobody,
we love Subway.
Nobody loves Subway more than we do on this show, because literally every morning we get breakfast from Subway.
It's true.
You guys do eat at Subway 250 times a year.
We really do.
Not a joke.
It's absolutely true. So go to Subway and buy everything they have.
Whatever Lisa just said, buy it.
That's right. Get some. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Why?
I'm upset. Jennifer Aniston's cupping, man. What are we going to do? How are we going to get her into some sort of rehab facility?
Is that the thing you do on your
She's
back?
Cupping. Yeah.
What does that mean, cupping?
I know it sounds like some sort of new way to get high, but cupping apparently now is the big story in Hollywood, the latest trend. All the girls are cupping.
Cupping. If they're not doing their nipples.
That's right. If they're not getting their nipples tattooed. She was caught at a recent appearance wearing a backless dress, and there they were, her cupping marks.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's that super painful massage?
No, this is an alternative medicine treatment, Kevin. It's used by the Chinese primarily, and it's said to ease muscle tension and mobilize blood flow and remove toxins. In fact, I'm surprised you haven't done this for your back yet.
It's supposed to be too. Really painful.
Really?
They put on these suction cups onto your skin, and then they crank it up to 11, and it just sucks all the bad stuff right out of you. It's like a leech. It's like bleaching.
Yeah, no.
Seems dubious.
It is a huge phenomenon amongst the Hollywood elite. Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, swears by it.
Then I'm out.
It feels amazing, and it's very relaxing. It feels terrific. It's just one of the alternative medicines that I do instead of taking antibiotics, said Gwyneth.
What?
This is why everyone hates you, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Instead of taking antibiotics.
She cups instead, Kevin, because it's much more natural, and it's alternative. Hello, Reed Goop. Hello. Yeah, so...
But if you need antibiotics, I don't think cupping's going to help.
Cupping is better.
All right.
It makes me think of The Princess Bride. Remember when they've got Wesley down there in the dungeon? And Mel Smith plays that albino torturer, and they put those suction cups on him, and they just suck the life out of him. They literally suck the life out of him. Every time I hear about this cupping, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
Until he's mostly dead. They did that.
Not ever. No way.
While we're talking about Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a secret talent she wants you to know.
Oh, great.
She tells Us Weekly magazine that while she's cooking, and she cooks a lot, she cooks her meals for her family all the time. She wants
Which is
to
weird,
know.
Because she weighs like 85 pounds.
Well, she's cooking kale and tofu biscuits. That's why. Yeah. Who could eat the stuff she cooks? She said while she's cooking, she loves to rap.
Yes.
I'm like a bad mother, she told Us Weekly magazine.
She yeah. needs to stop talking.
This is why everyone hates you, Gwyneth.
I've seen her pull that out on her late night talk show appearances sometimes. She'll, you know, do some Snoop or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she sounds like, you know, a white girl rapping.
Remember when she was on Conan? Remember this?
She is good. Does that really qualify? Somebody said this. I'm going to do this.
The fact that it exists, though, is funny to me.
And while we're talking music, you don't want to be in the office today.
Why?
Because Dave is just doing victory laps, just running around the office with his arms pumped, like he scored the overtime goal in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, Paramore.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one of the Billboard 100 hottest albums. Paramore has the number one album in the country.
You want me to take him down a notch?
Oh, wait. What is this garbage?
Paramore's album, Paramore, and its debut is number one selling.
Congratulations.
Record.
I like them. Yeah.
You want to take him down a notch, Kev?
You want me to take Dave down?
Sure. How can you do that?
Pay the man, bitch!
Oh, that's right.
Bet against the Lakers.
Yeah, how about you pay me for all the season bets, bitch?
Already have.
But, you know, kid.
The only thing that's happening is that you owe me some credits.
King of Mexico can't say anything because he's so dumb. He was the one who started the bet.
Yes, he
he's
did.
Like, no, I bet you they don't even make the playoffs. And I was like, there's so many ways for them to get in.
It was like 3 days ago.
Just don't make
How's
that
the
bet.
Overall record, Kevin? How's that going?
But you're already ahead in money. Why would you give up money? Hello.
Exactly.
Sorry, can't hear
JK.
Anything.
Yeah, how's that overall record going? How's that bet?
So just ignore what I'm saying. That's okay. Just talk about other things and ignore what we're saying in here.
Say the man.
Ugh. The rest of the top 10, Brad Paisley, Kevin's favorite country artist. Wheelhouse, his album with the Accidental Racist song on there is number
I'm
two.
I'm certain the rest of the album is better than the Accidental Racist.
Well, how could it not be?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That song is a low point.
Justin Timberlake, who was at number one with the 2020 experience, he's number three. Blake Shelton, another country artist. Eric Church, anyone? Eric
country
Church?
Artist, very another? No very idea. Popular. Very popular country artist.
The band Perry, anyone?
Country.
Anyone?
Country.
What
wow,
are we living in? What effing world are we living in? Tyga Hotel California.
Rap.
Lil Wayne.
Rap.
I Am Not a Human Being 2.
Scissor.
Volbeat. Outlaw Gentlemen and Shady Ladies. Anyone? Volbeat?
Nope. I don't. You got me
nothing,
on that
nothing
one.
Nothing on Volbeat?
Got me on that one. Probably country.
Stone Sour.
Yeah, they're rocks.
Sure. House of Golden Bones Part 2. So those are your...
What the hell is Volbeat?
Oh, here's a little information. I just got it here. Volbeat is a Danish heavy metal band.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, we are Volbeat. We're here to rock your faces off. We will rock you.
No way. No way. Get real.
Today's celebrity birthdays. James Woods turned 66 years old today. Genius, that James Woods, by the way.
That's what I've heard.
Great actor. Genius.
And you're right, literally a genius.
Genius IQ, Mensa member, graduated from MIT.
Same here.
What is a guy like? Why does a guy like that get into acting?
That's a good question. Yeah.
He could be. He could be, you know, perfecting cold fusion right now.
Rick Moranis is 60. I still want to know what the hell, goddamn Rick Moranis. I miss Rick Moranis. I think he's funny. He's talented. I love him, and I don't know where he is.
One of our
I'm
listeners.
Concerned for him. Let's get a search party together.
Well, he's not missing.
He is. There's a search and rescue mission. Let's find Rick Moranis.
One of our listeners, I bet, knows Rick Moranis. I bet somebody out there knows Rick Moranis and can get him on the phone for us.
Get us plugged in. We need to check on Rick because he has just been MIA on my TV and movie screens for way too long, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned for his well-being. I think there may be foul play.
I just went to rickmoranis.com, by the way, and the front page is advertising his new album called The Agoraphobic Cowboy. Buy his new music.
All right.
So maybe that's what he's doing.
We're going to need some of that.
Now we have a reason to talk to Rick Moranis. Let's get him on and talk about his new musical endeavors.
Because
I miss Rick Moranis.
I want to hear it first before I encourage him.
I'm getting Where's Rick t-shirts made up this week.
Eric. Wow, he really hasn't been working much. The last thing I see for him is something called Brother Bear he did a voice for back in 2006, Ralph.
2006?
Yeah,
where's
wow.
he been?
That's
unacceptable.
No, I agree.
What, he and Dave Thomas can't throw together another Strange Brew movie or something? Can't get Bob and Doug McKenzie back together? Come
really?
On. Anything, yeah, I'll take anything.
We got to find out what's going on with him.
Rick, I hope he's okay. I'm concerned. I hope it's not
Send
a health
Send someone over to
something.
His house.
Let's check in. And a bunch of other people had their birthdays today, too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers doing the Lakers victory dance later on this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show and talking about what the Peppers have on tap for this Sunday night's closeout of Coachella 2013. Also, actor Ben Hoffman from the TV show The Ben Show is going to be joining us. And your chance at Coachella 3-day passes and access to the K-Rock Coachella house in just a few minutes. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Seriously, need new theme.
I thought that too. Now it's growing on me again.
Comes back around and becomes good again.
Yep.
Here's what we do is we take the best viral videos of the week and we put them in one handy-dandy location for you at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You can check out the Internet Roundup and see all these and so much more. Crazy that everything is on video. Look, they wouldn't be narrowing in on a guy who's responsible for the Boston Marathon bombing if there weren't cameras everywhere all the time always. So I guess in some ways, thank God there are. But here's a guy, and I don't know why he's filming this, but he's out in the river. He's fishing. And a shark practically jumps into his boat. Now, whoever put up the YouTube video has named the shark Chompy, but here's a little bit about what this guy sounds like when this shark practically jumps into his boat.
Holy s***! Oh, my God! Woo!
He was pretty happy to have survived that. It didn't seem like it took him a long time, Kevin, to paddle away from where the shark was.
Yeah, I think he was in shock. Yeah, he couldn't process what's going on.
And by the way, this is a large shark, too. I mean, if it wanted to, it could have tipped that boat over. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy that he had that on video. Tom Waits, who's Kevin's favorite singer, as you know, a guy who sounds like he's been gargling nails for the last 40 years. Somebody decided to put together a mashup of Tom Waits singing and Cookie Monster singing. It's all cut together. It's a very clever video. And honestly, I can't tell which is which.
You're looking for someone to pull you out of that ditch. You're out of luck. You're out of luck. Ship is sinking. My ship is sinking.
He should stop singing.
We need to play a new game. We need to play clips and go Cookie Monster or Tom Waits. Could you tell the difference between the two?
No, of course
not. It's crazy. There is new technology on the horizon that is just being introduced. It is called Oculus Rift. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but you put on these glasses and it transports you to another world. It's like it's kind of like, you know, how crazy it is the first time you see IMAX. Well, that's what this is like. You feel like you're in a 3D world where it's like, for instance, this 90-year-old woman who's wearing the glasses that we're about to hear. It's like she's in Italy right now. She's walking and talking and touching and doing all sorts of things just looking in these glasses. And apparently it is quite disoriented, but she loved it.
Doesn't it feel like you can reach out and touch the post?
You bet your bottom dollar you can. And I can't get over the leaves moving. I'm amazed. I don't believe I'm seeing this. Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel indeed.
And that's awesome for a woman who's 90 who remembers before there was television, and now she's basically using 3D technology to travel. I mean, it's just crazy technology. All right, here's a very sweet moment on this all-new Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. This just happened last night. The first NHL game in Boston since the marathon bombings on Monday was held last night. And they bring out the guy like they do to start singing the national anthem. This is before the Bruins-Sabres game. And the crowd joins in on, like, the second line. They just start singing. And it was just one of those unplanned, just heartfelt moments where everybody was like just standing up and going, God damn it, we're not going to let the terrorists take down Boston. We love this city.
And they were singing so loud you couldn't hear the guy anymore.
Couldn't hear the guy. Yeah, it's so, so cool. Here's a little bit of that. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know if the guy quit singing or he was just being drowned out, but man, it was something.
And most sporting events, you're just begging for that national anthem to be over. Yeah. You just want to get through that and get to the game. But
And hockey fans as well are the least respectful.
Yeah.
Like you'll hear somebody singing the national anthem and one of the Bruins fans will go, Sabres suck! And one of the breaks, you know, that happens all the time.
Well, I think the national anthem really meant something to that crowd last night. As you know, Coachella, weekend one just behind us, weekend two coming up. Here's a very funny video, I think, from College Humor, where they have a guy who's really taking you through the paces, man. He calls this Coachella boot camp as he gets you ready for 3 days in the desert.
All right, Saturday, which premier band do you see?
Phoenix.
Vampire Weekend and Social Distortion are playing at the same time. Which one do you see?
Vampire.
That was a trick question! They're going to see Wu-Tang Clan!
So if you're going this weekend, that's a good primer video for you to check out to make sure you make all the right choices out there. Here's a guy who has an ongoing series of videos on YouTube where he basically puts a hole in the top of a water bottle, and then he stands at an angle where it looks like as he squeezes water out of the bottle, he's urinating on things. And in this case, he decided to take on a Ferrari who was parked in a handicapped spot. He really wanted to get under this guy's skin because this guy's obviously a jackhole for putting his car in that handicap spot. So here's what you hear when the owner comes back and sees what he thinks is a guy peeing on his $200,000 car.
I'm going to see how he likes me in his Ferrari.
What you?
You're in a handicap spot.
What if I call the police?
You're in a handicap.
It's a Ferrari.
That doesn't matter. Dude, don't stop. Enough.
Huh? No, it's not.
It's water.
Buy your whole family, motherfucker.
I could buy your whole family.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. He's definitely a Ferrari owner, isn't he?
What a dick.
Alison Brie, who is my number one girlfriend of all time, the actress I love so much from Community and Mad Men, is just perfect in every way. And she sits down with Paul F. Tompkins, and he asks her to imitate all the popular internet memes. So she's going to be Grumpy Cat, and she's going to be all the things that we've seen. And she makes the faces and goes through the motions, and it's hilarious. I'm not sure how well this one translates to audio, but check it out. Here's Alison.
We would like to have you, as best you can, recreate this image using the canvas of your own face.
Okay.
All right. First up, we have Grumpy Cat. So, yes. Maybe deader in the forehead and eyes. You're so full of life, you can't even make your eyes go dead.
You can't be deader.
Can't be deader.
She's hilarious. It's such a funny video. You got to check it out. A couple more for you in the Internet Roundup. Our friend Patton Oswalt is a guest star. He's on Parks and Recreation tonight. There's a city council meeting that's going on, and he doesn't want a vote on something, so he's going to filibuster, which apparently you can do. And this is fantastic, by the way, because they told Patton, just talk and keep talking. Pick any subject that you want and keep talking. And Patton, being as awesome as he is, decided that he was going to lay out his vision for the plot of the 7th Star Wars movie.
Oh, my God, it's Han Solo. But he's older and grizzled and really, like, focused and cool. Like, he's seen some really bad stuff, and he actually seems shaken. And Luke is like, what's wrong, old buddy? And that's when Han drops Chewbacca's severed head onto the floor. Yes, in front of all the Padawans.
No way. Kids aren't going to like it.
On the floor in front of the Padawans.
Kids are not
going to. Please let me finish. Thank you.
It literally just runs out of saliva in his mouth. And when he finally gets to the end, he's like, I'm Mark Rubio at this point. Please, can we please cut so I can take water? It's an outtake from the show, basically. You're not going to see all of that on the TV tonight. This is just, you know, this is the raw footage of it. But it's brilliant. You got to check out Patton. And Patton also shows up in this next clip, too, which is a Funny or Die video, I think. He's playing the Penguin, and he's encountered Batman, the Dark Knight, who doesn't understand really how killing works. And he's trying to explain it to him.
If the metal triangle blade hits a flesh neck, what happens?
They go to sleep, just like me. And then they wake up, just like me. Usually with a boner. Oh. I call it the bat signal.
No, they die. There's no boners. They don't get sleepy. They die.
Wait, but my fish, he went to sleep. And we flushed him down the toilet. He's in the ocean right now. He's alive.
No, he's dead.
Dr. Fishy! No!
It's a very dumb Batman, but very funny sketch. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel is back with This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. This is where they beep out the words that don't need to be. They can make anything, even the cleanest thing on the news, sound dirty.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
April 9th is National Yourself Day.
You got to know when to pat guys on the back or him in the butt.
Yeah, you do have to understand the difference.
That's true. You can see all of these videos and so much more at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Look, I get that there are some things that are political correct because they need to be, because there's social change that needs to happen, and it's for the better. There are things that we used to say that we don't say anymore, and society is better off for it. Then there's political correctness that goes about 1,000,000% too far. And that's what's going on here in this story that I just saw from the D.C. area, where major real estate developers are no longer referring to the bedroom where you sleep in your house as the master bedroom, due to criticism that there are negative associations with the word master.
Because of slavery?
Did someone complain?
It doesn't say that in the article, but it does say because of negative associations with the word master, both on a gender level, because it implies a male, as well as an uncomfortable historical connotation for slavery, architects and contractors are looking for more accurate and politically correct replacements for the word master bedroom.
I think I could see this if it was the 1970s, mm-hmm. You know, when you're just coming out of the 60s when that's a huge problem, but 2013... Really?
Really? It's one of those words that it doesn't mean anything
anymore.
Nobody
thinks slavery when you say master bedroom. You just think that's the biggest bedroom.
And in terms of the gender thing, nobody thinks a husband owns his wife because they sleep in the master bedroom. Well, anytime we come across a prickly issue like this that we don't know that we're necessarily qualified to handle on our own, we do have a resource, fortunately, that the company provides for us that we go to. And it's our friend Bruce Endicott, who works for the organization known as COFFEE. Mr. Endicott, first of all, welcome back to the show. I apologize. I never can remember what COFFEE stands for. Could you enlighten me, please?
That's quite all right. It's the Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everything.
Okay, fantastic. And this is exactly the kind of issue that you deal with at COFFEE, is this new controversy over the term master bedroom, right?
It's exactly the kind of progress that we support here at COFFEE, because we feel for way too long now, we Caucasians, and by we I mean us,
right,
have wrongly taken advantage of minorities, and really we must do everything in our power to make them feel more comfortable and, in essence, apologize for previous behaviors.
But don't you think there has to be some kind of limit to, in 2013, changing the name of a room in a house because it might offend someone somewhere?
But hasn't yet?
No.
We don't think it's enough, quite frankly.
So
we are not only behind the movement to change the name of master bedroom to main bedroom or big bedroom.
Okay.
But we're looking to change other part of the vernacular, the vocabulary we use in everyday life, to reflect a more enlightened position on race relations.
You want to go further than changing just master
bedroom? Absolutely.
Bedroom?
It's not nearly enough. Master bedroom is just not nearly enough. A mea culpa, if you will. That means it's my fault to our African-American friends.
Why would you say that? They know that.
They know that. Mea culpa is an expression that everybody understands. All right. So, Mr. Endicott, what other sorts of things besides master bedroom are you trying to eliminate from the language?
Well, we like to thank the people at PBS who are really behind us on this and are helping. They're changing the name of Masterpiece Theater to We're All the Same Under the Skin Piece Theater.
That doesn't sound like a very good name.
I think it sounds like a great name, and, okay. and it really will help us keep from inadvertently offending our African-American brothers, and that's what we're all about here at Coffee.
Okay.
Huh.
Did you know that in the car you drive currently every morning, I don't know how you can live with yourself.
Why?
When this is the truth, but there is the master cylinder and slave cylinders inside your car.
Right, and those are named based on the relationship that the pieces of equipment have to each other in making the engine work.
Yeah, nice relationship. Masters and slaves under your hood. Master just cracking the whip on the slave
no,
cylinder.
No, no, that's not what happens. That's not,
no,
it's mechanic.
Up on the porch in a rocking chair sipping a mint julep.
No one's sipping a mint julep.
Is that the kind of world you want to live in?
It's just a mechanical relationship. They're not alive.
Well, we've changed that. We want to change the master cylinder and the slave cylinders. The master cylinder will be known as the nice guy cylinder.
Okay.
And the slave cylinders will be known as the not all great athlete cylinder.
That
sounds worse.
You're making a situation.
It is more fair. It is more honest. We ask all of you tonight, when you're feeling a little bit sexy and perhaps you're alone by yourself, to equal bait. Instead of masturbate.
Equal bait.
Yes, we're now on. We'll all equal bait. When we need some alone time.
Have you done any kind of studies to see if these are better ideas? Run it by anyone?
The master's degree.
Right.
That you get from college, the further education.
Uh-huh.
That is insulting. The master's degree. Oh, I got a master's degree. How does that make African-Americans feel?
They're probably
happy about having such a great education.
No, now we're going to call it the We Cool degree. Make sure they know everything's all right. And thanks to our good friends at the PGA, Professional Golf Association.
Okay.
They are changing the name of their major tournament, the Masters.
I doubt that very
well,
seriously.
True. We've had conversations with them, and they've agreed to change the name from the Masters to the We're Not Afraid to Be Alone with You in an Elevators.
See, again, that's worse.
Yes, that just sounds to me like you're race baiting with a name like that.
I don't think so. I think it lets them know. Come on in. Doors are closing. It's after hours. I'm going down to the parking garage. I don't care. I'm safe. I'm not worried. All right, I'm a little bit worried.
Okay, never mind. Thank you for the call. Let's open up the phone lines. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to go to Coachella, we've got 3-day passes for this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You're going to have to play the game Beat Beer Mug, which we all love.
Yes.
So give us a call. 1-800-520-1067.
All I know is that I know my man Kevin well enough to know that Monday morning he never wanted to leave his house again after 3 days at Coachella. But now that it's Thursday, he's starting to think, maybe I will head back out.
Oh, it's driving me crazy.
Maybe I don't want to miss it.
I feel like I have to be out there.
Well, it's a pretty awesome event. 3 days in the desert with tons of great musical acts. Obviously, Coachella 2013, Weekend Number 2 starts tomorrow. K-Rock is going to be broadcasting live from the Coachella house starting at 10 a.m. like we do. You can win tickets to all 3 days and access to the house for exclusive interviews and performances. If you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you can beat Beer Mug.
It's time to be Beer Mug. It's time to be Beer Mug. It's time to be Beer Mug. Let's beat them to death. Oh, yeah.
So the game that we play called Lick Lisa is where we ask a question, the answer is a number, and Lisa gives her best guess, and then the caller on the phone has to say whether the correct answer is higher, lower, or the same. Now, the difference with Beat Beer Mug is that we ask a question with a number as an answer, and all the caller has to do is say whether Beer Mug is right or wrong. In other words, if his number that he guesses is not exactly right, then it's wrong, and you say that, and you go into the drawing.
All right. Lisa, you going to do the drawing?
Yes.
All right. We have Aaron, a hospital tech, on the line. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Welcome to the Beat Beer Mug Coachella edition.
Hey, who's beating Beer Mug, by the way?
We have Chip, and we have the King of Mexico, and Lisa.
Me.
Lisa, if she can put down her food long enough, she can hit him.
Everybody wants the Beat Beer Mug. All right. So listen up, Aaron. Kevin's going to ask the question. And again, Beer Mug answers first, and then you just tell us whether he's right on or he's wrong, okay?
Okay.
All right. I was out there last weekend. Daft Punk was rumored to come out with the band Phoenix on Saturday night. And both guys were there this past weekend, but they were there to see the audience's reaction to the commercial that they played for their new album coming out. Exactly how long was the commercial that was played at Coachella for Daft Punk?
I would say
in minutes and seconds, please.
I remember seeing the commercial.
Got an edge up on this one.
I would say 2 minutes and
Aaron, is he right or
14
wrong?
14 seconds.
Wrong.
It's 1 minute and 40 seconds.
Beat me wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, you're in the drawing. Congratulations. Let's go to Shane.
Up next is Shane. Yeah, Shane is on line two. Shane, Kevin's going to ask a question. Let Beer Mug answer first, then say right or wrong. You ready to play?
Sounds good.
The band Phoenix is headlining Saturday night at Coachella. The band is from France, but Phoenix is also a city in Arizona. Arizona borders Mexico. Mugs, how many people live in Mexico?
That's easy.
Now, is this up to the minute, Kevin? Because I'm sure there was something born while you were reading the question.
Does it matter? He's not going to get
population
that.
Population of Mexico,
uh-huh.
I would say, is 60 million people.
60 wrong. Million people. What do you say, Shane? Yeah. Wrong?
Wrong it is.
It would be 114,793,341. And now 42. Beat Beer Mug. Nicely done.
I don't hear enough pain coming out of your side of the room.
All right, let's
are
go
you not connecting? Get him in the face, you guys.
Come on. Really? Let's go to George. Hi, George.
Hey, you going to be here tonight?
Hey, George.
Oh, are you a foreigner?
I am a Mexican.
So you knew that population answer.
Yeah, you should have gotten that one.
I was right on the money.
I bet you were. All right, good luck. Here's your question.
We're talking to Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers later this morning. I saw Flea at last night's Laker game. Lakers Dwight Howard has one of the NBA's lowest free throw percentages. Beer Mug, what is his free throw percentage for the season?
14%.
Wrong.
I don't follow basketball, so I have no idea.
It's 46, which is considered terribly low. Okay. Beat Beer Mug. Much better.
Wow.
Much
so far,
better.
Aaron is in the drawing. Shane, also George. Let's see how Hannah does. Hannah is on line four playing for Coachella tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
You're ready to beat Beer Mug? Here we go.
Coachella is held at Indio in the Indio Polo Grounds. The Coachella Valley is 66 feet below sea level. Speaking of the sea, how many gallons of water are in the world's oceans? In gallons, please.
I'm going to go.
Whoa, let me guess.
I'm going to say 80 billion gallons.
80 billion! Is that correct, Hannah, or no?
No.
It's 343 quintillion,
oh my
427
God.
Quadrillion, 668 trillion, 428 billion, 484 million, 681,262.
I was close.
But you were so close,
though,
Beer Mug.
Beep Beer Mug.
Beep Beer Mug.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Let's do one more.
It's raining hot sauce in here.
How about Rick? Rick is on line five. He'll be our final contestant, and then we'll do the drawing and find out who gets to go to Coachella.
Hey, Rick, you ready?
Hey, what's up? Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo to you.
Hootie hoo indeed.
Yeah, hi. This is David Hasselhoff. Listen, hey. I wanted to figure out how
David, hold
to
on.
Get tickets if I get down there.
Hold on. We're doing the game where we're actually giving away tickets to Coachella. So we don't really need you right now.
Yeah, and your question. Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? Do you know?
That's the question. How far?
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert?
Marriott
in
Palm Desert.
Exactly. In miles, please.
Let's see. I'm going to go with 14.8 miles.
Right or wrong?
Wrong.
Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty too close for comfort, I'll tell you that.
It was 12.4 miles, exactly. Okay. But beep beer mug! Nicely done.
I'm balling up. Oh, my gosh.
Everyone is in the drawing. Only one can win the 3-day passes for Coachella weekend number two and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Lisa May, who's our lucky winner?
Our winner is George.
George.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Congratulations, George.
Oh, my God. I'll be there with you again, Kevin.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Thanks for playing.
That was Pete. Beer Mug. We found something he's actually good for. But now we can't fire him because we really want to beat him again.
I think this Ben Hoffman is truly damaged, by the way. Yep. He's a very funny comedian who doesn't appear to be enjoying his life at all, which is kind of sad. He's really just sleepwalking through life, isn't he?
His show is so offensively good, though.
So funny.
Yes, it is.
So offensive and so good.
Yeah. It is called The Ben Show, and it's on Comedy Central, having its season finale tonight. And Mr. Hoffman joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
The biggest question I guess we get here on the Kevin and Bean Show is... how can I get more Ralph? Usually, that's what most people say. Wouldn't you say?
We all agree.
I don't remember that.
So I want to give you a heads up. Today on iTunes,
ever
there's a new short film. Kevin Smith's Cartoon Lagoon is the name of the series. Episode 1 has just been posted up on iTunes. You can check it out if you go to iTunes and check out Kevin Smith's Cartoon Lagoon. It's episode 1. It's basically Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. Stuck in a submarine, the Hello Submarine, and they go to a tropical island. They get lost, and it turns out they end up in a an animated world. So it's live action Kevin and Muse in an animated world, and they must, in the first episode, confront a deadly great white shark named Benchley.
And you play Benchley?
I'm just saying the voice may sound familiar to
you. Oh, all right.
That's all. So you may want to check out Kevin Smith's Cartoon Lagoon. Episode 1, The Seamen. Huh? Is available now on iTunes. The Seamen, S-E-A, Men, M-E-N, The Seamen, now available on iTunes. You can check it out. And it's very funny, not just because I'm part of it, but I've seen it, and it's very entertaining.
That's a terrible idea.
It's filthy, too. It's filthy, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Sure, it's filthy.
Couldn't tell from the name.
No, you couldn't. James Woods is the man. It's his birthday today. He's 66 years old. Sad news, however. It's been reported by the UK's Daily Mail that he has broken up with his girlfriend of 7 years. Her name is Ashley Madison. And it's all over. I feel bad. I think maybe James just wanted to find someone a little younger. He is 66, and she's just 26 years old today. So I think she was getting a little long in the tooth for Mr. Woods. They've been dating for the past 7 years.
Wow.
So if you meet a girl when she's 19 and you start banging her, potentially used to be 26. Ugh, look what happened to her. Oh, really? She's a shell of her former self. She's really she's aged.
So you say we should 66.
He is 66 years old today.
We should start an office pool to guess how old his next girlfriend will be.
Will
he go back to 19?
Will she be finished with AP calculus before he starts dating? That's the question. Leonardo DiCaprio. While we're talking about men and their women. He would like to set the record straight. In an interview with Esquire magazine, he wants you to know that he is not a womanizer.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right.
He is not a womanizer.
Simply because he's worked through almost every angel in the Victoria's Secret bullpen doesn't mean he's a womanizer. It means he's a workaholic.
Ah.
He claims his busy, busy schedule, which requires him sometimes to shoot on location for 6 months at a time when he's making movies. He blames that for his poor track record with romance. It's just impossible to maintain a relationship, he claims, with that schedule.
It does make sense.
See that.
And the nice thing is, the refreshing thing is, he's not sitting there bitching about it. He makes no apologies. He says, I make no excuses for putting my career first. Getting your foot in the door in Hollywood is like winning the lottery. And anyone who would squander the incredibly golden opportunity is a fool, he says. So he's got to work his tail off to make the most of it.
He's a great actor, too.
He's a great actor. He makes excellent choices in the films that he does. And if that means, if he has to sacrifice the fact that he has to bang a different supermodel every 6 to 8 months, I think that's a small price to pay for quality cinematic work. So
I mean, I feel bad for him.
You should. I mean, the poor bastard. He can't make it last with one supermodel, so he has to have multiple supermodels.
Yeah, poor guy. Oh, he's really suffered for his art.
Poor Leonardo DiCaprio. I think we all feel badly for him.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Indeed. We got our update on Rick Moranis, by the way. Finally, we've solved the mystery of Rick Moranis.
Okay.
Which is the name of my new Broadway musical, and I hope you'll all check it out on opening night. Rick Moranis tragically lost his wife to breast cancer in the late 90s.
And he became
a single parent of their two children. And so he started to pull back on his workload and worked less and less and less. He said he felt his primary obligation was naturally to his children, so very nobly, he dedicated himself to being a single dad, and he found that he didn't miss it. He said, I pulled back from the work, I took a little break, and a little break became a longer break, and then eventually I realized I really didn't miss it anymore. So now he's a full-time dad.
Occasionally,
that doesn't give us more Ghostbusters. It doesn't give us more Bob and Doug.
Landis and Aykroyd and people involved with the Ghostbusters 3 say that he is likely to return in Ghostbusters 3. So that would be nice to see him again. But so there you go. It was a very noble reason why we haven't seen Rick Moranis on television.
So are you an a-hole for demanding more?
I didn't demand more. I just wanted to know what happened. I was concerned for the man's health. I didn't know where he was.
You said he was probably just being lazy.
I did not. I was afraid that he had gone hiking and fell down a ravine.
And no one had thought to look for him.
No one was looking for him. Or maybe maybe he lost his house keys and was locked in, couldn't get out. Who knows?
That happens.
That happens.
Yeah.
By the way, we joke about the what happens with the celebrities, but Ralph, I'm sure you saw that story with the American Pie actor from last night.
Yeah, Eddie K. Thomas.
Was that the craziest story?
He's had a one-night stand with a girl, and then she wouldn't leave the house.
She kidnaps him, essentially, at his own home, like holds him with a knife. Didn't she have a knife or something?
Yeah, SWAT had to show up.
SWAT has to show up to get a one-night stand out of the house.
They had a tear gasser to get her out of the house.
Wow. That's the worst one-night stand ever.
So now, Kevin, now you see why I'm a little concerned for Rick Moranis.
Sure. I don't blame you.
Someone was gave me a list of some of his performances. Remember he was Dark Helmet in Spaceballs? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do remember
that. Rick Moranis, yeah.
So many funny turns in films besides just Ghostbusters. He's done a bunch of great work.
I hope he doesn't pick up this chick at Mel's Diner because she's bad news.
He is 60 years old today, Rick Moranis is. That's why we're talking about him. James Woods is 66. Eric Roberts is 57. Conan O'Brien turns 50, as does Eric McCormick, the actor. Maria Bello, she's 46 years old today. Did you ever see that Cooler movie with William Macy?
Sure.
She did. Boy, it's a great film. Melissa Joan Hart is 37 years old. America Ferrera turns 29. And... And people are very upset with me, and they have every right to be. I consider myself a Whovian, and yet Dave did not put this name on the list, so it's really not my fault. But David Tennant, the 10th Doctor, David Tennant is 42 years old today.
Doctor Who?
Exactly. You still watching, Bean? You hooked? You still hooked?
I'm hooked.
Aren't you hooked?
I love
backed
it.
Up.
It's awesome.
It is good. It is very good.
It's awesome.
To keep up with
and
it.
And I'm glad now you're finally catching on to Doctor Who.
I've been trying to tell you for years you should watch it, Ralph.
50 years later. You're watching Doctor Who.
It's about time you listened to me. I've been telling you.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I'll school you later, Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
The show.
Well, you didn't shoot the budget on the intro. We know that.
Ben, welcome back.
What's going on, guys? The first time I've ever done a radio show twice.
Really?
The first time I've ever done it twice. Okay.
No,
Ben Hoffman.
My point is, when I do a radio gig, I say I'm never going back there.
That's usually slash and burn, right?
This one, I'll come back anytime.
Well, we appreciate that. I remember when we had Ben on, I think it was the morning of the premiere of the Ben Show on Comedy Central, and I thought, well, this is great that we have him in because we've seen an advance on the show. It's very funny. We're excited about it. But he's going to be too big a star when it's over in 2 months, and he probably won't come back on. So I'm happy to say that you're not a big star yet, so you can still come in.
Good news for you, bad news for me.
Exactly. So what do you know? What have you learned after putting eight of these things on the air at Comedy Central? What's different about this job than you expected it would be when you signed up, Ben?
I got this advice from Conan. Stay off the internet.
Stay off the internet. That's probably a good tip.
And Twitter. Listen, yeah. I got a lot of compliments. A lot of people love the show. But holy mackerel, can they be rude?
Yeah, of course.
On the internet, which is I actually enjoy because I
well, your show is wonderfully offensive.
Thank you so much.
I mean, really?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you're going for.
Offensive on every level.
Yeah, I just got a text from my aunt yesterday. She's like, "You look so handsome on the show. You're great. We're so proud of you." Unfortunately, we had to bail after episode 3. She was like, "Your
what was
uncle."
What was it that ran her off?
Well, she bailed out of episode 3 during one of the barbershop quartets singing the top porn titles of the week.
Right.
And then she decided last week to try again.
Yeah.
And that's where she saw this scene, Twin Sanity. I don't know if you saw
Twin
Sanity.
Yes, we did.
is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Is two identical twins. I don't know if the audience knows. I can't talk to them right now, so I don't know if they know.
But they can hear.
They can hear me.
Yes.
It's we did this... We did this fake audition where we pretended we were hiring a guy to be in a film called Twin Sanity about two identical twins who fall in love with each other.
Right.
And then we shot the scene.
Shooting the scene was what was the surprising part. It was funny to watch them all try out because one actor is playing, of course, both characters. But then when the scene comes on.
Well, here's what we were just talking about this outside. So I demanded with Comedy Central that we put up just the Twin Sandy scene on YouTube, but not the auditions, so there's no context to what's going on.
Right.
So on YouTube right now, on Comedy Central's channel, is just basically gay porn with the worst actor ever, and
yes.
yet they're fully clothed.
Right.
So it's not even like – even if you like gay porn, it's not good for
no.
you. No. No one right. who would – it's just – we're setting a new record for likes to dislikes, which is making my day.
Sweet.
Because they're just like, this used to be a comedy channel. This used to be funny. Now it's just bad. It's just not even good gay porn. It's bad gay porn. It's just I just get a smile on
and
my
and you're
face.
Yelling, more tongue!
Yeah, exactly. And I was telling them, we shot, that was the second guy. The first guy bailed halfway through.
Really?
We were shooting him because he didn't tell him what it was. So this guy... It was his. I feel bad for the guy now. He said it was his first ever audition.
Oh
right?
No!
So he auditions. We think he got the role, man. So let's go in the other room. We say his lines. We bend him over. He's and right at the scene where he's about to give himself love.
Right.
He goes, "What exactly is going on here?" We go, "You know, you're about to. I don't know how to say it. Enter yourself." And he goes, "I don't know if I want to do this." And I go, and so then we go out into the lobby, and there was a guy who came in second. We always kept these fake auditions. We always kept a second place guy just in case the first guy bailed.
Right,
it just happened.
Because you expect that.
Yeah, we
sure.
expect them. And I go, hey man, because I couldn't lose another guy. I go, hey, I just need to tell you what's going on. Just this is the scene. This is. Would you want to do it? And he goes, what do I care? I'm gay. And I go, what does that have to do
that
with
it? That has nothing to do with it.
You having, making love to yourself.
It's your twin brother, kind of.
Exactly. And I go, I have lots of gay friends who would never do this.
Right, right, right.
Don't take this, don't bring that into it. You're just a desperate actor.
You don't know, because you do a lot of things with real people, so you really kind of don't know how it's going to go. Are there days where you've showed up where the scenario that you've laid out you thought would be easy and it has ended up taking forever because you just can't get it to go right?
Yeah, I mean, the funny, to me, those are like the funnier parts. Like, I don't know if you saw, there was an episode, I did the whole episode on Ambien.
Right.
And we had an escort come over. And we got her out of like a legit source, like a real escort. And so we had her come over, and you know, I'm like, I'll bet, you know, if I gave you an extra $100, you would, you know, do this and that, expecting her to go like, no, of course, because she's on. Just keep in mind, there's two cameras pointed at her.
Right, yeah. Right.
And this is airing on Comedy Central,
and it would be illegal.
Illegal, and she goes
right,
and I go, you know, what could I? So as a joke, I'm like trying to be silly, you know, for an extra couple hundreds, what could I do? And she's you could, you know, have sex with me. I go, cut, 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 cut. And I go, no, you know, this is airing on TV. She's like, oh, no, I'm a prostitute.
What?
So
I'm getting irrelevant.
Yeah. And I go, you know, there's a difference between escorts and she's like, no, they're the same thing. I go, are you willing to say that on air? She's like, sure, I don't care. She goes, it's good for business.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think Comedy Central, I don't know what happened. I think they thought it was too because I would assume Standards and Practices maybe wouldn't want that to air, but it's so ridiculous. I think they didn't even catch their eye that, like, and
you're getting stuff past them because they don't even.
I think
they can't believe it's real.
I can't believe it's real.
Right? Yeah.
And don't forget, a minute later, I say, don't forget, as people would know, I Skype my dad and introduce her to my dad. Let's just say I'm breaking new ground.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Your dad never knows what's going to be on the other end of that Skype call, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
I feel like whoever you hand the script to or whoever you have audition or whoever is in that particular scene, your goal is to make them quit before they can do it. Like, that's your goal.
I wanted to, but here's the thing.
If they don't quit, you haven't really pushed them far enough.
I know, and no one will quit. So I'm
people
stuck
love
with the
being
show.
On TV, Ben, that's, apparently.
I do not realize if there's one lesson to be learned through season one is people love to be on TV.
Exactly.
Like, nobody said, except for that one audition guy, and that's about as far as you can take it, nobody says no.
We have to take a quick break. Ben Hoffman is in studio. He is the host of The Ben Show, which is hilarious, with its season finale tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. We're going to talk about that some when we come back to the greatest balloon animal maker in the history of television on that show tonight. Am I right about that, Ben?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of competition for that, but yes.
Pretty impressive, though, right?
Oh, he was amazing.
We'll talk The Ben Show when we return right after this on the Kevin Bean Show. Tonight at 10 on Comedy Central, it's the season finale of Ben Hoffman's show, The Ben Show. According to your Twitter, Ben, you can also see it on iTunes, Xbox, Amazon, On Demand, Hulu Plus, and Up Your Butt with a Coconut, which I thought was nice. That's generous of you to
see,
offer that.
I add a little joke at the end, and it makes the promotion look like comedy.
Boom! Professional, this guy. Hey, how'd you like doing a show on Ambien, by the way? Is Ambien, is it your new favorite drug?
Yeah, well, we were in the writer's room, and I was telling them I'm a horrible insomniac. So I was telling them, like, Ambien doesn't even work for me, and I can stay up for, like, 6 hours. And, of course, that makes writers and producers go, I got to see that. We got to shoot that.
We should do it.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll do the whole show on Ambien. So I did a whole episode on Ambien. And I thought I was with it. Then I watched the episode later. And my two reactions were, one, man, I look out of it. And two, I don't remember any of this.
Really?
But while you were doing it, it didn't seem weird to you.
It didn't seem crazy to me. Wow. But especially the last scene, which I thought the last scene was really – the first time I laughed watching myself on TV was that scene.
Because it surprised you?
Because it surprised – that was the first time I actually thought I was kind of funny. So I should be on Ambien all the time.
Every single show. I love Ambien, by the way. I think it's awesome.
It is pretty great. If you're an insomniac like myself – to take a drug that makes you fall asleep, but if you stay up, you have an even better time. I mean, what's better than that?
Can't go wrong with that. Let's talk a little bit about Ben Throws a Party, which is how you're ushering out season one tonight. What do you look for in the perfect party that we see on the program tonight?
Well, as my dad kind of explains in tonight, my real dad, as people don't know, I have real people on the show. I'm not exactly what you call a party guy. I'm more of a sit in your room and what did the guy say? What did he say earlier? Equal bait?
Was that right? That's right.
That's what they call a callback in the industry.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to offend anybody with that ugly masturbate term.
I don't use the term master. I'm an equal baiter.
Sure.
So
of course.
That's kind of my idea of a party. But in real, for the show, I actually have to throw a party. So we have a Whoopi Goldberg impersonator.
Obviously.
What else you get? This is what you get with your idiot friends who you hire as comedy writers on your show. It's like, what's the best party in the first suggestion? Whoopi Goldberg impersonator.
And I love that there is a Whoopi Goldberg impersonator, because clearly she's going to all that trouble because she can make money at it. But how? Like, who in real life, besides a goof like you who's doing it for a comedy TV show, who's really hiring a Whoopi Goldberg impersonator?
Well, that's the line we had her read when we hand her these lines. We're like, she's... I forget what she said, but basically, like, this has got to be the first gig she's ever gotten, right?
I thought she was pretty good, too, didn't you, Ben?
She looked dead on.
Yeah,
and that's not good.
And we told her, we cut this line, but we told her, too, she can make, for side money, she could do a Rick James impersonator.
All right, so Whoopi Goldberg impersonator, check. Now let's talk about the balloon animal guy, because he blew me away with how good he was and how filthy his balloons were.
Well, that's the thing. See, people think I'm really filthy, which I kind of...
I guess.
But I was like, just make me a balloon. And next thing I know.
Careful.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting in the area. It's genitalia.
That's his idea of what you would want?
What he thought I would want. Uh-huh. And guess what? He was right.
It's genitalia in action, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, genitalia that works.
Again, that's another one of those things where I give it to the censors and like, let's figure out. I'm telling the editors, get ready to blur. And they're like, you don't have to blur it. It's a balloon.
All right.
And
wow,
like,
that's
nice.
Fantastic.
So, like, let's just do more balloon stuff. Yeah.
Tell me about the hot model. Now, where'd you find her to be your date for this show? And does she really not speak very much English? Because that sounds like a perfect combination.
She was in another scene in the show, so we were like, I need a date for the party. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the only dates I can get, even though I'm the biggest star in showbiz, is people who've worked on my show. So I called her up, like, would you like to be my date on the party? And she's like, not the real. And I'm like, no. You'll be on TV and get after minimum. This sounds like a good opportunity for me to be on this. It's like, oh, great. That's a date. And then I have to pay her to come to the party to be my date. And she's like, and then, oh, by the way, she asked me afterwards. She has her own website, as most aspiring models do.
Sure.
And she asked me to do an interview for her website,
mm-hmm.
to do a Q&A. And she emailed me the questions. And she said, what was your and I made up all the – just the most offensive made-up answers because I knew she didn't speak English. She was like – she goes, what was your favorite episode of the show? So I go on Wikipedia and I copy and pasted episode 3, season 1 of Mr. Belvedere and just pasted it there about how Mr. Belvedere, you know, the kid didn't want to play baseball and Mr. Belvedere – and she put it on her website word for word, the summation of the third episode of Mr. Belvedere. Go on her website and you can read my answer. And she didn't even know – she just printed it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Ben, what's the future of the Ben Show? I get nervous when when I hear it's the last episode. I hope of the season, but of course, you never know. It could be of the series. What are they telling you? What's the early
indication?
I'm hearing
good things. I mean, I don't want to get too business talk, but people are loving the show. The numbers are going up every week. I think I'm going to know more soon, but I've heard nothing negative. Everything I've been hearing, actually, if I go online, I hear.
All negative.
All negative.
Right, for 9-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we're in a good place. I don't know. I mean, but everything I've done in my life has been really bad, and this show is good, so I'm kind of happy with it.
Good for you.
If this is it, it's a good run. We're out of time, but I do want to ask one more question. That's about Todd Bridges and the crack stories.
Yes.
Well, how did that come about?
Well, I used to be on this really bad TV network called Current TV, which is now Al Jazeera. And
sounds like a joke, but it's true.
I was going to say, it's sad that gets a laugh. I always get offered guests, and I always turn them down. And one of the guests was, they're like, do you want to promote Todd Bridges' book? And of course, like that's the first best sounding guest.
That's a slam dunk.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to some diplomat or something. So he starts telling me stories about the book, and we can't air any of it because it's so dirty and crazy.
Oh, my God.
And it was.
And he's like the only one still alive from Different Strokes, right? He's not last man standing?
I don't know what time it is, but I'm not sure that he's alive.
Okay, gotcha.
I have no confirmation of that. But, yes, everyone else is dead.
Right.
But whether or not he's alive, we don't know. But he tells me these crazy stories. I go, if I ever get my own TV show, you're going to tell all these crazy stories, and we're going to animate them. And he just looks at me like, he's wearing this crappy dump downtown. He's like, you are never getting your own TV show. But if so, I'll do it. And I call him up. He's like, what? Of course, he remembers, I'm going to say, 3 to 5 minutes of backwards. He's basically living Memento, that film. Right. He didn't remember any of this.
Right.
So we call him up. And the price was right. We got,
$20.
Yeah, $40 and a bag of Sun Chips. And he told the stories, and he told them I'll give him credit, knowing they were, like, the most beautiful telling of crack stories you've ever heard. And they were animated. This guy, Steve Olson, this amazing animator who works for, like, Hanna-Barbera, animated these crack stories.
But he's eloquent, and he's got sound effects and the whole deal.
Listen.
He's a good storyteller.
He might be the best crack storyteller on the planet. And we got him. It's very cheap.
There you go. Fantastic. Well, the Ben Show tonight, Thursday, Comedy Central. You were kind enough to honor your agreement to come back and see us at the season finale. Now we're going to ask you one more time to come back when season 2 starts. Will you do that for us, Ben?
I will be here anytime you want. I started the season here. I ended it here, and I love it here, and I'll
knock on wood. Maybe it's good luck so far, right?
Yeah, it's been great.
All right, Ben. Thanks so much, dude.
Bitter, predictable, whining disc jockeys. It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
That's us. It's 8:37. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
Sounded like you were going to say something else there.
To me too, but I wasn't.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, he is the co-host of Loveline right here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN. Good morning, Doctor. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bean. Good morning, Kevin.
How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. We always have something to talk to you about, and today I wanted to ask your opinion on, I guess technically you work for CNN, although you're on the HLN side.
Yeah.
What about the nightmare of trying to cover a live event like the Boston Marathon bombing this week, with a million facts and figures flying, some of which turn out to not be true, and try to be live on the air 24 hours a day? It's got to be insane over there.
Right. It's right. It's insane to be covering something like that 24/7, but it's even more insane to try to collect, corroborate, and confirm facts from reliable sources, in quotation, that sometimes don't end up being reliable.
I mean, CNN just doesn't do that.
No, they are exquisitely careful. Listen, there are things I want to do all the time. They're like, no, you can't do that. All the time. And it has to be confirmed and double confirmed. And by the time it's triple confirmed, everyone else has already reported it or done the story. And that's what I face all the time. And so to have them be accused, I find it the ultimate irony to have CNN be accused of being somehow sloppy with that issue because they are exquisitely careful with it.
Well, then what happened yesterday when they turned out to be so stupendously wrong with a suspect has been identified and arrested and is in custody,
you know,
and none of that turned out to be
so
true?
Right. And I heard that, and I thought, oh, I had a whole conversation with myself because it is so unusual for them. I thought to myself, they must have been in contact with somebody like an assistant director of the FBI or something,
right,
who said, no, I'll stand behind this. This is what's happening. It's time to go with this. And it just turned out not to be true. What are you going to do if somebody with, you know, somebody with the highest level of clearance says this is a fact, gives you that fact, it seems reliable to report, and it ends up being nonsense? I don't know what you do. We tried to be at the highest level of professionalism with that.
I do understand that, especially when every member of the media is trying to contact every person who might know something. It's tough sometimes to get the right person at the right time with the right information and then get it confirmed by somebody else. But unfortunately, what happens these days, particularly with so many news gathering organizations, you know, that are bare bones, is if CNN says it, the rest of the world runs with it. And then it ends up on thousands of news sites. And it turns out to be not true because they're not doing any kind of independent verification. They're just taking your word for it.
No, right, because CNN becomes the standard because they are so careful with stuff. And you would think, maybe this is boring for the listeners to be so defending CNN, but I'm telling you, I'm inside it. And they are extreme. This is one area where they are over the top careful. And you would just think that that it wouldn't happen like that, since they are the gold standard, and they are not rushing to the news. They're not the one rushing to the story. Of course they want to get it as quick as possible. Of course they'd like to be first, but they want to be right, that more than first. And
Do you agree, Dr. Drew, with going on sometimes for hours at a time and just speculating, which is what they tend to do when they refuse to get off of a story? Or do you think they ought to maybe go back and cover other stories and maybe break in with new news on this one when it is actually happening?
That was a direct insult. You're referring to Jody Arias. How dare you?
No, I actually wasn't, because at least it wasn't. I'm talking about the marathon coverage where you see Anderson Cooper and two other guys standing out there on the street in Boston just riffing for 3 hours at a time with absolutely nothing new to report and just guessing what might happen. I'm wondering if that's a good use of airwaves.
I will only tell you that I get to watch the behavior of viewership. And people just flock to CNN and sit there.
That works.
And I think they want to sit there with the anchors with whom they have a relationship and get the information as it comes. And if there's nothing to do but chat with people, then they're okay with that. They'll sit and wait with those anchors.
I saw the headline from Gawker that was talking about the coverage. And by the way, it wasn't just CNN. There were other networks that also misreported the information. But this was the best headline on the net yesterday. Marathon bombing suspect has been arrested and is in custody, but has not been arrested and may not exist. Which I thought was very funny. Hey, let me ask you one serious question, Drew. And then I know Kevin's got something he wants to talk to you about with the HLN show. And that is, you deal with a lot of people in your practice and on the TV. What about kids in a situation like this when there's a story that is nationwide, that's on all the channels all the time? You shield them from them as much as you can, but eventually they're going to hear about it. How do you handle a story like this with young people?
Yeah, I get asked that question all the time, and there's no absolute pat answer except to say, to recognize that for some kids this may be overwhelming. It may be, you know, I for some reason I'm hearkening back to something Adam Carolla used to say. He said when he was growing up, the Hillside Strangler was running around, and he figured two things. A, about a 50% chance he was going to die in a quicksand episode, because that was on Gilligan's Island every other night.
Right.
B, that other 50% was going to be the Hillside Strangler was coming into his backyard, because it was being, and his parents, of course, did nothing to assuage his anxiety, didn't sort of adjust his perception of reality. And that's really our job as parents, is to be there to realize they're consuming all this stuff and to really consume it with them and to metabolize it and to change it and to shape it and give them a sense of, look, we live in a difficult world. These are rare events. We're going to keep you safe. And so keep the feeling of safety is important. By the same token, giving them a sense of what's real about the world.
I was just going to ask on this point, what's a guess on the appropriate age for kids to even know about something like the marathon bomb?
They're going to know after 8, so you better be prepared whether you try to shield them from it or not. You'd rather it be more in the teen years where they can be more circumspect and can process these things cognitively, but I would say it's going to start happening around 8 for sure.
Well, you're absolutely right that it's such a rare event. I mean, you can't panic over something like this that, as horrible as it is, only killed 3 people, even though many were injured. I mean, way more people get killed by bees every year, so let's not blow it out of proportion.
Kevin,
right?
Bean has always been such a compassionate guy.
He
only
has.
3 people dead. Only 3 families devastated. It's fantastic.
Bees kill more people.
No, but I'm saying that's good. If there's a bright side, I'm just saying for kids, it's not like 1 out of every 2 people in America is getting blown up in a bomb, so let's not overreact to the danger.
The ones that don't get blown up by terrorists are getting blown up by fertilizer plants.
That's true. Okay. All right, Kevin, what's your question for the doctor?
Let's talk about women who watch the HLN all day. Let's talk about how we can support and help them and get them into some kind of rehab.
Are we supporting the women or their husbands?
I am trying to get my wife sidetracked in any way, and it's not possible. She watches that trial, and then she watches a recap of the trial, and then there's no trial on Friday, but HLN brings out the best moments of the week, and she watches that, and I'm just thinking to myself, there's got to be some way of getting her into Jody Arias rehab.
I think your point is well taken. Once the trial has wrapped, I'm going to create a program for women that are detoxing from Jody Arias.
Hey, excellent. When is that trial going to wrap, by the way?
Never.
It seems like it's been going on since I was a teenager, Drew.
It's day 50, and I think we got at least 30 more, in my estimation.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
But, Drew, I got to tell you, you're falling down on the job, because I saw this on Jane Velez Mitchell, and I also saw this on, I think, the devil's daughter, Nancy Grace.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the Jody Arias trial. So they'll go, yeah, she stabbed him 27 times, then cut off his neck. And then they'll go right to the cutest picture of the dog of the day.
Yes.
What is that about?
You're right. I've got to get the animal the PETA people in.
It's the weirdest thing. They'll be talking about this gruesome murder, and then they'll just put up a picture of a cute dog sent in by a viewer, and they'll go, here's the picture of the day of the dog.
It's kind of jarring, huh?
Ask your wife. It seems to work for her. I'll start it up tomorrow.
You need to start that, Dr. Green. You need a cute something or another so that you can just break the tension a little bit.
There you go.
It's what your wife and her sort of friends like most, disdaining another woman and hating her and wanting her to fry. And cute animals.
And then perfect. A cute animal.
Sure. There you go. That's the recipe for success. Dr. Drew on call weeknights on HLN and Loveline Sunday through Thursday, I want to say, at KRock.com, or KRock, rather, at 10 o'clock with our friend Mike Catherwood.
And
thanks,
the,
Drew. Enjoy
podcast,
talking to you.
Podcast at drdrew.com and adamcarolla.com.
But of course.
Yes, right.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Thank you, guys.
Laker fan number one, his name is Flea, and he's also in some band, I guess. I guess they're trying to play Coachella or something this weekend. I don't know anything about him. But anyway, we'll talk to him about last night's game and the Lakers being in the playoffs coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
First things first, Southland.
TV show on TNT.
Southland.
Right?
Great show.
Brilliant this season. Brilliant last night in its season and some fear series finale. Brilliant work. The past 2 weeks have just been spellbinding television. I can't understand how the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences has ignored this show. I don't remember seeing any nominations for any of the writers or actors. I can't understand how TNT can't renew the show for at least another season. Look, I get it. I know it's a numbers game. I know it's about ratings. But seriously, TNT, seriously.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying, seriously.
Okay.
Little less mentalist reruns, a little more Southland. A little less Rizzoli and Isles, a little more Southland. You got room. You got room. I'm saying you got room, TNT. You got freaking room.
Didn't Southland have some sort of history with NBC also
first
at one
season?
Time?
First season was on NBC.
It started on NBC and then got canceled, right?
Right. And then
they got picked up by TNT.
Picked it up, rescued it. And I do appreciate that, TNT. But now do the right thing. Do the right thing here. And bring us more Southland. Or, I don't know, Stars, Reels, who's out there? Who needs something?
FX?
Who needs something? We got something here. Just saying. So moved last night by the show, so I just wanted to give them a shout out. Speaking of moved, I'm saddened and I am filled with self-loathing that I missed this story earlier, but now I will give it its proper due. Today, 75 years ago today, Action Comics number one hit the newsstands. Superman is 75 years old today. Happy birthday, Supes.
birthday.
Yeah.
It's my Kryptonian birthday.
That's great timing with the new Man of Steel movie getting ready to come out this summer.
Yeah, the new trailer just hit this week, and now Superman 75 years ago landed on a little farm in Kansas, and now that's why we've all been
I should
saved.
Kick your ass for wasting my time.
Yeah. World's most
Better
famous
than Batman,
orphan.
Ralph?
World's most famous orphan.
That's right. Better than Batman?
No. But still, Superman. Superman is the foundation on which Batman was built. Superman is the beginning of it all. If you're a geek, you have to appreciate that Superman is to superheroes what the Beatles are to rock and roll. I mean, it's just one of those seminal moments that changed the world. Changed the world. Siegel and Schuster, of course, from Cleveland.
Of course.
So Cleveland is celebrating Superman Day today. If you go to Cleveland today, if you get to the airport, they're handing out Superman birthday cake at the airport there in Cleveland.
But you have to be in Cleveland.
Dude, I love Cleveland.
That's the negative side.
I love Cleveland. I know Cleveland's got a bad rap, but I love that town.
I'm 100% with you, Ralph. I love Cleveland, too.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it doesn't suck. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, awesome. Strip clubs, awesome. Some of the best strip clubs I've ever been into.
I think I was afraid to go into strip clubs.
Oh, awesome.
That's a terrible city.
And you're just a hop, skip, and a jump away from the Professional Football Hall of Fame there in Canton. Just a great little town. So God bless Cleveland, and God bless Superman, and God bless us all. Every one of us. Except for porn star Kim Kardashian. This is making me very happy, this story. You know, pregnancy takes its toll on the female body.
Yep.
There are many, many side effects to pregnancy. Morning sickness being one of them. Weight gain, of course.
Sure.
Hormonal fluctuations. Mood swings. But my favorite one, now I've heard this story, is accelerated or heightened growth of body hair.
Oh,
yeah, that's
no.
right.
Hormones
that's right.
Suck.
That's
oh,
right.
No.
Kim Kardashian, who's made a religious quest out of ridding her body of any hair whatsoever, lasering it off, exfoliating,
setting herself on fire,
electrolysis, whatever it takes. She's known to be fastidious about removing every follicle of hair in her body.
She's the anti Chloe.
Exactly. Well, apparently her pregnancy hormones have kicked those little follicles into overdrive, and now apparently she's just sprouting thick, coarse, dark black hair everywhere.
That's not
porn
good.
Star Kim Kardashian.
The full moon's in the sky, and she's just the inner werewolf is coming out.
She's living on being human now.
This makes me laugh so hard. She's been forced to wax, something apparently she hasn't had to do in years because she had everything lasered off. And she's already making appointments to get the new growth re-lasered after she gives birth, according to TMZ.com. So why wait? Why wait? Look, you're pumping all kinds of stuff into your lips to pump them up and everything. You carry the baby. Whatever. Just go in. Just hit the belly with a laser. Maybe the kid will come out like Superman. You don't know.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
That's going to be a hairy baby.
Never great comes out just covered with fur everywhere.
I just hope the baby comes out the whitest baby ever born. That's all I want out as a result of this.
I am not entertained. You'd be staying at the nursery. Today's celebrity birthdays. Well, Superman first and foremost.
Sure,
right?
You don't have to tell us.
Superman 75 years old today. Doctor Who. David Tennant is 42 years old today. It's just a geekapalooza with these birthdays. Then you got other people too. You got James Woods at 66, Rick Moranis, who we solved the mystery of Rick Moranis, by the way.
Asshole!
Now, hey, how dare you? Man's a saint. He's 60 years old today. Eric Roberts is 57. Conan O'Brien turns 50. Eric McCormick is also 50 years old today. Maria Bello is 46. Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, turns 37. And America Ferrera, Ugly Betty herself, is 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
That I wish you
those guys write some songs we can play, huh?
Wow. When you put it that way, it's no wonder that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's always a pleasure for us to welcome our friend Flea back to the Kevin and Bean Show. And he joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Top of the morning.
and you as well.
First and most importantly, let's talk Lakers.
All right. Let's talk about them. I love them.
I saw you at the game last night.
Yep, I was there screaming my guts out.
And I wanted to get your take on when Kobe gets hurt, when he goes down, the rest of the team seems to step up.
Yeah, well, for sure. I think it's three different things. One is they just have the ball in their hands a lot more, so they're liable to do things with it. The second thing is that they, with him being gone, I think they often have a tendency with Kobe to just think, oh, Kobe's got it.
So, right.
I can kind of take it easy because Kobe's going to take care of it. And all of a sudden they feel this responsibility and opportunity at the same time, so they really start stepping up. And also, Kobe just, he's a very dominant alpha male basketball player. And when he's playing, especially in close situations, he likes to take the ball and he likes to do it. So, those three factors all shifting.
Do you know him?
Guys stepping up.
Do you know Kobe?
No, I don't know him personally, no.
Because I wonder what he's thinking. Last night he was at home and they kept making a reference. They talked about his dog most of the game. I don't know why. But I wonder what he's thinking when he sees the team step up and when he sees Dwight Howard play so much better than he has the rest of the season. You know, they beat San Antonio. Last night they beat Houston. There was a seventh seed,
Yeah. Well, his thoughts probably depend firstly on how much Vicodin he's taken for that torn Achilles.
True.
Yes.
That could, but beyond that, he just wants the Lakers to win, man. Kobe is so sincere and earnest in his loving of the Lakers and his caring about the team winning. And I think people always think he puts his ego first, and I think that's a drastic misinterpretation of Kobe Bryant.
I've heard
Kobe
that a
Bryant,
lot.
He just wants to win, man. He cares so much, and I just think he's rooting for his team and wanting them to do the best they can be. And if Dwight is playing great because of whatever the chemistry is on the court, Kobe's happy. He's playing. He just wants the Lakers to win.
But don't you think there's something in the back of Kobe's mind that goes, why doesn't Dwight play like that when I'm on the court?
Yeah, well, Dwight does play like that when he's on the court sometimes. I mean, since the All-Star break, Dwight's play really shifted, and he's gotten a lot better. And he's strung together a lot of really good games, and he's been really active. I mean, he's had a couple of clunkers, but obviously Dwight, like the rest of the players, is steps up his play when Kobe's gone because they have to compensate for this guy not being there.
And when you're really playing for something, you go into overdrive just from because it's an important game.
Yeah, all of those things, but undoubtedly. And the thing, if there's any knock on Kobe, which I think he's really unfairly knocked on, but if there is any knock, it's that he the ball doesn't move as well often when he's in the game, especially in crunch time, because he's like, I got it. It's the fourth quarter, it's winning time, I got the ball. And the ball kind of stops moving and it becomes easier to defend because it becomes predictable what's going to happen.
Right. So this question that has bothered the Lakers all year, which is will we make the playoffs, now has been answered. How do they do against San Antonio?
I think they can beat San Antonio. I mean, things have to really go well and they have to all play at the top of their game. I think it's possible they can beat them. I think that, D'Antoni has to do something that he hasn't shown all season, which is to adjust and change mid-game.
Right.
It seems like he goes into a game with a game plan, and he sticks to the game plan the whole game, no matter what the other team's doing.
Right.
I mean, I don't like claim to be such an astute judge of basketball that I can tell if there's subtle changes. I mean, but it just seems like he does the same things defensively and offensively, regardless of what the other team is doing. I don't notice the changes. Like, I remember with Phil, like, if something wasn't working, you'd see a major change in the way they were playing the ball.
Yeah, especially at halftime. Like, he always came out better in the second half, Phil's team.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't better, it was different. Like, if something wasn't working, he would go to a different plan. You'd make a major adjustment, and you'd see this, like, wow, all of a sudden they're doing something completely different. They're playing a different guy, or they're doing different plays, whatever they're doing, but I don't notice that with D'Antoni. And Popovich is the best coach in the NBA, And he will adjust, and he will adjust whatever D'Antoni's doing,
right,
to make for the most efficient, you know, way to deal with it. So
it's a whole different thing to beat a team in a, you know, 7-game series than it is one game.
Yeah, no, the playoffs is adjustments really come into play. So that's really my concern, you know. And up to this point, I'm not a D'Antoni fan. You know, I feel like. Like the Lakers hiring him is the biggest blunder in the history of the Lakers franchise. So,
well, and it's to their credit that they still made the playoffs despite that. Listen, this is the voice of Flea here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let me transition from what you're talking about with the coaching style to ask, when you're on stage with the Chili Peppers, you guys are reading the audience. I bet you make adjustments during the set based on how well the material's going over, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, not so much. You know, yeah, it's more like we make adjustments in the momentum of the set that we're playing, and also like on how we're feeling, you know, what's going on with us, and yeah, we definitely adjust and move.
Do you make a set list and then call variables?
Well, yeah, we exactly. We make a set list, we call variables, and also, you know, we're a band that improvises a lot while we're playing, so the context and the nature of the improvisation will shift and change depending on, you know, a bunch of factors, you know, physical and emotional. And
is there a variable to be called for a sandstorm?
Yeah, the sandstorm. Well, the weird part about the sandstorm gig was, like, first of all of our friends are, especially when we play at home, like, the sides of the stage are always packed with our friends.
Right.
And because of the sandstorm, they kicked everyone. Like, I started the stage, I looked over, I saw.
<That's all right>. And you're like, wow, do I?
We got it. We got it, Flea. It's okay.
I'm like, oh, golly gosh. Do they think we're boring? Do they want to go back and, like, smoke and talk and have, like, arty, intelligent conversations because they think we're boring? And that was weird. They're all gone. And coupled with the fact, because of the sandstorm, we have all these, like, these big screens and lights and projections and things that we have on stage, and we couldn't end the day right before the show. They said, you can't have any of the stuff on stage because of the risk of the wind.
Wow.
So we really weren't lit up on stage, and we couldn't see the crowd at all. It was just blackness. So I'm looking at the blackness. I can't see the crowd. On either side of the stage, all our friends are gone. And so it was just like, whoa, everyone's gone. So, you know, head down, just rock, man.
Did you check and see if you needed to continue?
Maybe there was no one there, Flea. You're just playing for yourself.
Yeah, well, that would be fine, too. I mean, we'll jam 5 hours.
Yeah, sure.
No one there at all in the rehearsal room. So.
Let me ask you this about Coachella. Of course, you guys have headlined the festival before, so this is not new for you. But do you like being on Sunday night, and do you have a choice of what night you play?
As far as the choice, I don't really know. I just, like I said, you want to do Coachella Sunday night? I said, great.
Okay.
But in terms of...
Would you rather be on Saturday night, though?
No, I don't know. No, I don't, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, all it really, like, ultimately, all that matters to me is that we play well. That we, like, surrender and channel the gods and get deep into the groove and play music as best as we possibly can and reach for the cosmos.
And let everything else kind of handle itself.
The way it works out, at least, is the Lakers playoff game number one against San Antonio is in the afternoon, so you'll be able to watch it at the hotel before you head out for the set. So you'll be able to do, thank God they're not playing it that night or you'd be hosed.
Oh, I would be totally hosed. I have been many times this season. You know, we've been on tour for the whole season.
Flea would put the playoffs on the big screens up there.
Yeah, he would.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'd do it too. But I'm excited, you know, about Coachella this weekend. It was fun last weekend, and this I just came out for Sunday when we played, but I'm going to go out for the whole weekend. There's so many acts that I really want to see, you know. I really want to see Grinder Man, and I want to see Blur. I want to see Nick Cave again because he's the greatest thing on earth.
Right.
By
the way, I wanted to mention to make sure you heard that they swapped headliners on Saturday night. So if you adjust your plans, if you're going to see Blur, remember they were playing before Stone Roses last time, I think, and now they flopped it. So they're closing the show now on Saturday night. So make sure you get there.
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I really want to see him.
And you guys are also Sunday at noon.
Yeah,
that's his worst nightmare. Don't do that to him. Yeah, all right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Flea, but we'd love to chat with you again. Maybe if the Lakers make it into round two, we can have this conversation again. Maybe this is good luck talking today, and maybe we'll try it again in a week or so. But have a fantastic time on Sunday night at Coachella. You've always been great to us here at K-Rock, and we always enjoy catching up with you, sir.
I appreciate it, you guys. Take care. Have a fun day.
So, ho and then hey. That's correct. What that song's all about, right?
Right. Yeah.
Ho and then hey.
And then after that comes ho.
Yeah, both of those.
And then hey.
Hey. Ho and
okay.
Hey.
Ralph, it's your time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, this is a real pleasure because instead of talking about the usual BS showbiz stuff that I do about, you know, freaking Kim Kardashian and the rest of the human jetsam and flotsam that's on our TV screens on a regular basis.
Right.
I'm going to spend my final Showbiz Beat today dedicated to something that is of such high quality that really it should barely be called television. And that's the show Southland, which, you know, I'm a huge, huge fan of. Last night was its season finale. Hopefully not the series finale. And it just was the culmination of a brilliant season of work by some great writers and actors and a great crew. And we've been talking about it all morning because I was so impressed by the show last night. And it's my great pleasure to bring on the air special guest, Mr. Michael Cudlitz, by the way.
No way!
Officer John Cooper from Southland.
No way!
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, not too shabby last night, by the way.
Yeah, it was. I think it was our funniest episode to date.
It really was. Could not stop laughing, sir.
That show is fantastic, but it beats you over the head.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you guys are relentless. The past 2 weeks have just been relentless television. I got to say, it's nice to care about something that much while you're watching.
Yeah, no, and it's flattering to hear the response from the fans and stuff. I mean, we get so emotionally invested in these characters, and we just have the best job, you know, and everybody just did a phenomenal job. It's such a pleasure working with the rest of my cast and the crew that produces it. It's just a pleasure.
Well, we don't want to be the 1,000,000th person to ask for any kind of speculation, and maybe you don't know, but season or series finale last night?
We don't know. We obviously are waiting as we speak, you know, for TNT to tell us that. So we don't know. But there's, you know, a lot of cool things have happened the past couple of weeks. The show has won a Peabody Award, and we're up for some other awards.
Wow.
So hopefully that'll help. Way into that, their
that's
decision.
Great.
It's hard for you to say, Michael. I know because you're so involved. But does it surprise you at all that it doesn't get nominated for more awards? Quite frankly, I mean, it's sort of glaring in its absence at the Emmys and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, that stuff is so outside of what we do. Yeah, it does surprise me because it seems that the critical response and the fan response is so intense. But you know, we're in the middle of it, so I don't. And, you know, all that happens outside, and it's for other people to decide. We're doing what we do, and we're having a great time doing it. That's other stuff.
Well, we'd like to say, for your consideration, Southland. For God's sakes, people.
And Michael Cudlitz for the last Cudlitz. 2 weeks alone. Last
yeah.
week was
well, this
just
whole season
brilliant, and then last night again, just heartbreaking. And, I mean, not just you. I mean, I think you're the linchpin of the piece, but Hattisey's work this season and McKenzie, all these guys, the arcs that they've taken these characters on have just been remarkable.
They crushed it. The final scene between Ben and Sean, wow. That's television cast.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I don't want to, I hate to be a spoiler alert guy because there are, you know, not everybody watches everything in real time. But if I can just ask you for a minute about last week's episode of you basically being handcuffed and in your underwear for the whole show. How tough is that as an actor? That has to be even more grueling than a regular episode.
That was pretty rough. We were out in Palmdale, it was about 35 degrees, and we shot that over the course of 2 days. And the cool thing about that was we shot it all in sequence, so it's kind of like doing a play. It was awesome. The work was pretty phenomenal, so it kind of takes your mind off of how, you know, sort of crappy it is, you know, the conditions wise.
I right. see you with handcuffs and underwear most of the time in your real life.
No, yeah, dude, I'm sitting in my underwear right now.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, at least being miserable contributed to what the character needed to show on screen anyway, so probably some of that wasn't even acting, because you probably were hating life about that.
Absolutely. I try to make – John Cooper's a pretty miserable person, so I try to set up, you know, my life to be as miserable as possible so I can actually do as little work as possible.
Yeah, well, an actor prepares, Michael. That's how it works.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Cooper, though, is the most crushingly lonely character on television. As I watched last night, one by one, as people and friends and family just dropped away from him, I thought, as an actor, it's got to be enormously taxing to carry that around with you all day.
I think it's kind of awesome.
This is the voice of Michael Cudlitz.
They
They're fantastic. They surrounded me with such great people that it really is. We have a really, really good time at work.
Well, that's hard to believe.
How could you not?
You can't tell. I'll tell you that.
It's a lot of riot.
Michael Cudlitz is on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about recapping briefly last night's Southland on TNT, which was must-see TV. I have to ask you to say a few words about your co-star a couple times this season, and in particular two or three episodes ago, Gerald McCraney, who just is a guy who's been off my TV radar for a number of years, but just blew me away with his appearance on your show, too.
Yep. Major Dad kicked some serious ass.
Yeah. I see a reboot of Simon and Simon with you two together. How about that?
No, he was just phenomenal as well.
Talk about heartbreaking.
And just he brought it. His that stuff was, the scenes with him were actually fairly easy because he's doing all the heavy lifting. All I had to do was shut up and listen.
Yeah.
He's just incredible. Incredible body of work, a really sweet man, and it was just a pleasure.
Well, Michael, we get a lot of praise for you guys on the screen, but I can't say enough about your writing team and also your production team. I know you guys are working on a slashed budget over there and turning out, feature film quality work each and every week. So just please pass our praise along to everybody connected with the show, won't you?
Absolutely. Best crew in the business.
Yeah.
All right. Well, definitely. I know you're active on Twitter. Definitely tweet it out as soon as you get word, man, because we got our fingers crossed hoping there's good news for you guys over there at TNT. Please come back if you can. All right.
Absolutely. We appreciate your continued support.
Of course.
Our pleasure, Michael. Thanks, sir.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Nice dude.
Just one of the best. And again, that show is there are some shows like Mad Men and other shows that just – They surpass the bounds of the medium. You know what I mean? They become bigger than television in some ways. And I think those shows should be excluded from any kind of ratings issues. Just put them on television. They're just that good. Just do
we
it.
Don't care if they're losing
I know,
money.
Whatever. Just do it. Okay.
Make
just
it up someplace
else. Do what's
else.
Right. Just do the right thing. That's all we ask. For God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm glad we had a chance to get him on because you do love him on that show so much that you want to tell him personally. It's not enough to just watch and support the show. You want to be able to say to the dude, you're awesome. I want to make sure you know how great you are.
I think he agreed to come on, so I've just stopped tweeting about it.
Is that right?
That's pretty much all I've been doing all day long is just tweeting about Southland. And, I'm not a gay guy, but a Cooper would be my man.
If you man, Cooper would be the guy. Worse.
I could make him feel better. I could make him less lonely. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, so again, just a great show. And if you haven't been watching, just go F yourself. You're no friend of mine. Just you're part of the problem. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. James Woods is 66 years old today. Actor Rick Moranis, who we discovered has retired from show business. That's why we haven't seen him for a while. But he retired to raise his kids. That's kind of honorable.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Noble. I'm making snack today for my kids' preschool. That makes me kind of noble, doesn't it?
You're doing that?
Same thing.
He retired, comes out.
He retired from a movie career, and I'm making cheese and crackers. So I think we have a lot in common, Rick and I. Eric Roberts is 57 years old today. Talk show host Conan O'Brien celebrates his 50th birthday, as does Will and Grace star Eric McCormick. Maria Bello is 46 years old today. Philly girl, Maria Bello.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Let me take a Bello away.
But hey, how
she
dare
still,
you.
She still came out okay?
Stop it. Melissa Joan Hart. Sabrina, your teenage witch, she's 37. America Ferrera from Ugly Betty is 29.
David, that's the most tepid bell ever.
David Tennant, the 10th Doctor, if you're a Doctor Who fan. He is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, it's Friday, so we got the movie beat. We have your one-night stands gone wrong on tomorrow's show. We have director and musician Rob Zombie in the studio.
Oh, awesome.
Love catching up
I love
with
Rob.
Him. You guys aren't going to spend the whole day talking about goddamn hockey, though, are
yes,
you?
Yes, Flyers jersey. I don't beg for work very often. Sometimes I do. I'm begging for a role in his next film. That's true. I'm begging.
He's at every Kings game, so yes, we will be geeking out on hockey. And we've got the final chance for you to win your tickets for all 3 days of Coachella tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.